If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Why are you doing this to yourself?
Because I'm money, but I'm not sure my life.
Tell me you're going to stop drinking. Tell me right now. Or I'm not going to talk to you ever again. And I will totally disown you because it's not fair to meet your family. What you're doing.
I'll be fine.
A man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
This is a mess.
All right, so we have 6 cans of beer. This one is being shaken up very violently. Now what we're going to do is we're going to walk along with this little U.S. mail container. We're going to mix them up. You won't know which one's been shaken up.
You know, why don't I take over here?
Bean, why don't you take over?
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
Huh? I'll be fine.
And now.
I hate white people.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Tuesday, the 11th of Slut-tember.
Slut! 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 Slut!
Where did you come from? What's happening over here?
Phones aren't
Who are you looking at?
Oh, Omar.
Oh.
I came walking in the studio, and I didn't know he was there, and you played that whole open, and then all of a sudden Omar stands
the
up. Like
time
he was,
is now!
He was like laying.
Oh, don't say that.
He was like laying on the floor or something, hiding.
It is the 11th, Omar.
Yeah, not today.
Nice. Yeah, that's not today. Today's not the day.
Of all days.
My bad!
Hey, did you guys just screw up the phones? Is that what's going on? Did you just turn everything off? Because I was fine. I was all connected. Now I'm gone.
Well,
I have
that
no
probably
idea.
Had to happen.
Okay.
I have no idea.
We've had struggles already this morning, Kevin, even before you got here.
It's all Omar. I think I'm safe in saying.
Could be.
It's all him.
Okay, let's blame Omar. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
But did Dave show up?
But seriously, where were you? The only one with the beard and the mustache.
I was working on the phones.
But on the ground?
Yeah, you got to open up from the back.
That's so bizarre.
I will sabotage your phones for your decadent ways.
Again, on the 11th, maybe not. In fact, Omar, if you wait 10 minutes, you can be ready the exact anniversary. How about that?
Oh, dear God, no.
You can plan your comedy for first plane impact if you want.
Let's not do that.
Don't do that. Okay. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, Omar, don't do that.
He's not going to do
that. Did Dave show up?
I don't know. I didn't see.
We haven't seen
Dave. Is Dave out there? No?
Nope.
Yeah, we have no idea. He's not here.
Oh, there he is.
He is here. He is here. Okay, there he is.
Hi, Dave.
There's the king.
What's up?
We just wondered if you're here.
Just curious.
Trying to
see if everybody made it back from Las Vegas.
Just checking.
Still sound better than ever.
Oh, listen to Dave.
What happened to your voice, Dave?
I lost it in Vegas.
He was in Vegas.
Ted Corbett.
And he came to the award show with me, and I kept saying, what? What? Just to get him to lose it more. Because he would try and yell. You literally couldn't say a sentence, even if there was no noise next to you. You couldn't hear what he was saying, so I'd have him repeat it like 3-4 times.
Yeah, I would scream at Kevin, Kevin, it's the girls on the hills. He's like, who? Lori Conrad!
All right, Dave, please step out. We got enough of that at 10 o'clock.
You're an evil man, Kevin. Never even crossed my mind to do that.
Just cracked me up. Well, the first time I did it, I just said, what, because I didn't hear him. And then I thought, oh, that's funny.
I'm going to do that all night.
I'll make him keep yelling. That'll be funny. All right, let's talk about what's going on. How is everybody? Lisa?
I'm fine.
Bean?
Lightning's throwing a big tantrum. I think he may have left already.
Yeah.
He did seem upset as I walked into the studio. He marched out and said, that's why I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Apparently he got his feelings hurt in the show planning meeting yesterday.
When you were screaming at him at the top.
Snappy.
I was?
Oh, I'm sorry, Bean.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. He earned it. He earned it. But, you know, 24 hours later, you got to shake that off. I mean, Jesus. You know what I mean?
I don't think we want to get into this on the air.
Okay.
Well, if we got a guy working for us who throws a tantrum and just leaves rather than try to be professional, yeah.
He deserves to be called out. I don't know if he
Well, I don't know left. Either. But Alex was looking for him, couldn't find him. And it just seems like, you know, that's going to impact us. You know, we count on our support people. That's all. It's hard to even get them to show up anymore these days.
You couldn't say you're sorry.
Our people on the show.
Hey, come on.
He was a little bit of a bitch yesterday.
Stop it.
I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying we've had some trouble yesterday. You know, I'm thinking of, you know, yesterday with Dave and then Shaolin back to back. It was just rough. I was hoping today would start off a little bit smoother.
Dude, we had some problems with you yesterday too, but we're all moving on. Let it go.
I was here and I was working though,
yes.
And I'm here and working today.
Yeah,
but I can't seem to get everybody else on the same page.
Because if you're being a dick to everybody, they're not going to want to. to.
I wasn't. Let's I didn't move do on. A thing to lightning
no, you
today.
Didn't.
He threw a huge tantrum the minute he walked
All
in.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
Our
assistant producer, Alex.
Uh-huh.
You know what? Super I think you're right. I think I'm going to leave too. How about that?
Fantastic.
Good.
What is going on?
Freaking babies.
Jeez, I'm so
So when Lightning does it, he's not being a baby, but if I do it, then I am being a baby, right?
Are you gone or not, dude?
I'm just asking.
Are
I'm
you gone or not?
I'm
Go.
Trying to understand.
Look,
tell me.
We don't know
Lightning,
if he's gone.
Lightning
no.
is not being a baby, but
you
if I do it, I am.
You were being a complete dick to Lightning yesterday. A complete dick. Uncalled
I thought it was
for.
Funny.
It was funny to me, but it wasn't
That's
to you.
All. I was
but
just trying to be funny.
Feelings.
No, you
so
weren't
you
trying
could've,
to be funny.
You
I was. Of course,
to
I was trying to be funny.
No, you
I didn't
were
even
not.
Have the opportunity to. He came in throwing a tantrum this morning.
No, yesterday I said yesterday.
Yeah, and I said I didn't even have a chance to apologize to him because the first time I talked to him after that was this morning when he came in and he was throwing a tantrum before he said a word.
Okay.
All right. You're right. He's wrong. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show.
And don't go. Jesus.
I think I will,
That's
to
fine.
Tell you the truth.
No.
I think
That's
I'll just
fine.
See you guys after vacation.
All
How
right.
about that?
See you later. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show. Alex, our assistant producer in Las Vegas, pretty much melted down when we tried to call the guy who she's dating.
For a couple of months now,
for
right?
Couple, 3 months.
Two, 3 months.
Actually, her boyfriend.
Yeah, she's got a real problem with that.
She broke out in a complete sweat. And, like, was freaking out. We were like, dude, what's going on here? She's like, not my boyfriend. Not my boyfriend. Not my boyfriend.
I'm not at that point yet. I'll let you know when I am.
And we were like, you know, okay. No big deal. Really? You got to take it easy?
Has Alex ever been at that point?
Well, she's proudly not. For the most part.
For the most part.
And
okay.
I'm fine with that.
Sure. It's fine.
But if you date a guy for 3 months.
It's an interesting reaction.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like you would go crazy or melt when we used the word boyfriend. That was just, and it was like she was, it was like we were torturing her. We were waterboarding her.
It's like if any other guy walked by, we'd go, she's got a boyfriend.
Well, and especially when you're going to take the drastic step of introducing him to this firing squad. You know
oh,
what I'm saying?
Like,
because this is a major step to bring him before us.
And let me tell you something. It's a lot easier for you guys to introduce women into this group because Alex and I are pretty nice to him.
Right.
But bringing in men
oh,
is
no question.
Tough.
No question. But,
it's hardcore.
But
yeah.
That's not what we're talking about. We were just talking about the guy. Later, he showed up and he was mm-hmm. fine. And we got along with him, everything else. But we were just talking about the guy, and she was like, "You know that Saturday Night Live skit where they're just pouring water down her face,
yes.
his face? That's what it was like with her. She's like, it's not my boyfriend. It's not my boyfriend.' We were like, dude, take it easy. All right, it's not your boyfriend. Whatever.
Usually, it's a guy that's doing that about a girl.
She's a whore. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Let's I got
it. Getting reinforced.
So anyway, we're going to take calls on that topic this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are going to talk about
What?
I can't tease that. We're going to give you some highlights of Serge Tankian, who was in our studios yesterday.
Such a nice guy.
Always.
He was so
It's so
polite
funny
and
because
spoken and...
he's the lead singer, of course, of System of a Down. He's got a new solo CD out now. And he really comes across, you know, in his music as he's going to kick your ass if he sees you. You know, there's that level of aggression. And nicest, coolest.
Mellow.
I'd say meek, even. Just super passive and really nice. And, hey, thanks, bro. You know, I hang out with you. The whole deal is really cool. So if you missed that, we have some highlights of that coming up just after 6 o'clock. And we have tickets to the K-Rock LA Invasion. We have another contest that you can win. Plus, we have teases for you. So all morning long, we'll tell you when to call in.
Okay.
And win tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion, which is this Saturday.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
Yeah.
So we will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
New Coldplay CD coming out next year, by the way, announced. 9 songs, 42 minutes, lean and mean, no fat. That's
wow.
what they're saying.
9 songs
so.
Doesn't seem like enough.
Nope,
kind of.
Well, especially since these days when people want to put 20 on a CD.
Yeah.
But I guess they say, let's just leave the crappy ones off and just put the good ones on. But we don't have any idea exactly when it's going to be coming out. But it has been an awful long time since the last Coldplay.
Yeah.
So I love those guys. I'm excited.
Too.
Rob is on vacation this week. It's 5:49. Take a look at the Showbiz Beat. Kanye West, as you know, has got the new CD coming out today called Graduation. He continues to talk to anybody who will listen to him. Except for us. He was going to talk to us. Apparently that's not happening today. But he tries to stir up interest wherever he can, try to sell those CDs. He's good at it. Yesterday he was on Z100 in New York City, And I love two of the things that he said. One is he's blaming MTV for Britney's performance at the VMAs.
What?
He says they exploited her. They exploited Britney in helping to end her career. When Britney was opening the VMA telecast, near the end, I felt so bad for her. I said, man, it's a dirty game. The game will chew you up and spit you out. Didn't MTV give her the best possible platform for a comeback?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Does he think that they should have noticed that she was kind of out of her mind and canceled her? Or what does he think they should have done?
I guess.
I mean, I kind of felt that way, that they would be doing her a favor by not letting her on. But if Britney Spears says, hey, I'm a tragic train wreck and I want to come on your telecast, you go, ratings.
Yeah. It's a business.
I don't imagine she said that either. I imagine she said her people said to them, she's good. You know, I don't think MTV is, I think, helped in the short run by the ratings boost that people, you know, were turning in. But in the long run, if they don't have one of their major artists, it's not good for them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I also read
Bush doesn't care about black people.
That's true.
They had some sort of corset that they wanted her to wear, and she rejected it as not sexy enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of her many, many mistakes that night. Maybe not learning the words to her own song was another one, I think. He also goes on to say, after being asked about the tantrum we heard about that he threw in the elevator, that he didn't win any of the awards he was up for. Remember, he was up for five, didn't win any. He said, I wasn't just mad that I didn't win any awards. For me, MTV made it seem like performing on the main stage was a bad thing and that the suites were just so great. It was my dream when I made Stronger, which is his new song, to open up the VMAs with a real power performance. I just feel like I got betrayed by them. I felt like they tried to make it seem like I was so into everything that was going on in the show. And I don't know what he means by that except to say that they just kept going back on the telecast to Kanye performing up in the suite. You know, something that had been previously taped that they edited all in the telecast. And he said he was not that happy with the show, and he wanted to perform on the main stage.
Well, that's...
And I can understand. I mean, it was a gamble. Like we talked about yesterday, it was a gamble to do the suites experience. And I'm sure some people would have preferred a big stage that they could have been performing on in front of all the people.
Yeah. But they went back to him way more than anyone else.
They sure did.
I mean, they showed Dave Grohl for like 20 seconds, and then they'd go back to Kanye West for 5 minutes of his song.
His exposure, I don't think, was the problem. I think that the fact that they pre-taped him in his suite doing his performances, and yet still the sound was mixed horribly.
It was horrible.
If I was Kanye, I would be upset about the fact that they had all night to prepare and make things perfect.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, that's part of what's good about his records is that they're so well produced, and his performances didn't get any favors done by that mix. And every song he sang sounded exactly the same on the telecast.
George Bush doesn't care about black
listen,
people.
It's not about George Bush.
I don't think that helps.
Or black people.
Yesterday was a big day that a lot of David Letterman fans have been waiting for a number of years. You know, he's had this ongoing quote unquote feud with Oprah Winfrey for a long time. He tried to get Oprah on his show, and she finally came. She finally showed up on his show, and it was hilarious. So Oprah has been trying to get Dave on her show, and yesterday was the season opener of her 22nd season, I think, and David Letterman was the guest. And he's so uncomfortable doing these interviews. He just hates them.
That's why he doesn't do them.
Yeah. In fact, she asked him, why don't you do more interviews? And he said, because I got an hour a night to do a show. I don't have anything else to say after that. But he did bring a top 10 list, and I brought some highlights in of David Letterman on the Oprah show yesterday, because those are always funny.
All right, that's the thing, and the category top 10 reasons I love Oprah. Number 9, without her, we would have never known that quack Dr. Phil. And number 6, Oprah's incredibly busy, yet she still finds time to ignore my calls. Number 4, taught me how to launder money in the Cayman Islands. Number 3, Oprah gave me my first post-surgery sponge bath. And the number 1 reason I love Oprah, she's giving everybody in today's audience a new house. How about that, huh?
How about that?
I'm so fat.
All right, not time for that now either. That's funny. He's always a good guest.
Yes.
He's the best.
And it's funny that he's that uncomfortable doing it because he is really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's what happens. Hillary Duff is dating a hockey player.
Yes, has been.
Hockey players score.
They do score, but doesn't Hillary Duff still strike you as...
What, too young?
I don't know. She strikes me as, you know, 19 going on 15 or something. You know what I mean?
She's like, she does still seem kind of like a child. She
strikes me as a kid still.
How old is she now?
I think she's around 21 or something, isn't she, Mike?
Is she? She's in her 20s.
Huh.
Yeah, she's crossed 21.
Yeah.
Teeth. But that's still pretty young.
I don't know.
We forget. That's still pretty young.
Maybe I'm in the group that does not find her incredibly sexy. Maybe that's why.
I think her sister is way hotter than she is. Haley.
She's definitely got
compared to all the other pop princesses and young actresses and people like that, she's definitely got the most kind of cherubic, baby-like
she still looks
sensibility. I mean, she's not a whorish chick. I mean, she doesn't give off that vibe.
Right, so he's a hockey player. What's he doing with her?
You know? Yeah. By the way, speaking of hot and young, that sounds like a new website. More fallout on the Vanessa Hudgens story from High School Musical. You know, she's the one with the pictures. Yes. And now people are saying, no confirmed source for this, but there are some people who are suggesting, and maybe it's just, you know, speculation in the blogosphere, who knows if there's anything to it, that it was intentional that the photos were leaked, that either Vanessa or her agent leaked the photos because she's trying to change her image. Just like what you're talking about with Hilary Duff, that everybody's going to look at her, this little teenager, and she wants to be an adult actress, and she wants to be looked at for roles other than things as saccharine, sugary sweet as High School Musical. And I've seen these photos, and I don't think she's there yet. I mean, I still think of her as being very young and not ready for those adult roles. Well, I'd have to see more, I guess is what I'm saying.
Didn't Jessica Biel do something similar to
yes,
that on Seventh
she sure
Heaven?
Did.
She kind of did some
yeah,
really
she did the
crazy
Maxim
photos.
Shots. Yeah.
I find it hard to believe that Vanessa Hudgens did that, though. I mean,
this is a gravy train for her.
Especially the fully nude picture, you know? It's not like it really – I find that hard to believe.
I just don't. I don't believe her yet. You know, I need to see more to really know that she's ready for the grown-up roles that she would like to have. I think is what I'm saying. Here's an ooey. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about which one of the Olsons was it? Was it Mary Kate who's in the movie with Sir Ben Kingsley and has to make out with him in the film?
Right? Yeah.
She's like 21 or 22. He's 63. We thought, well, that's just no fun for her, certainly.
Yeah.
63, he just got married again, I think for the fourth time. His new bride, 34.
Wow.
63, 34. They've been together since February of 2006, and they just got married.
That's funny. Everybody looks at her and goes, ew, and looks at him and goes, yes.
Right on. But I mean, I don't know if there is. I mean, everybody's different, and, you know, some couples can get away with that kind of age difference. But usually when you're right around the 30 years age difference, I don't know. It seems like maybe a lot.
Yeah. wax museums continue to suck. Madame Tussauds, is that how you say
yes.
it?
Yes.
Tussauds in London apparently has already done a Daniel Radcliffe. But according to the Daily Star, the Harry Potter star has asked them to make another one of him naked.
From Equus.
Because of his play that he's doing where he's naked on stage.
I've seen the photos.
That's coming to Broadway next year, right?
And I find that hard to believe. I mean, really.
I don't think they'll do it.
Is Daniel Radcliffe contacting them and saying, how about a nude? Really?
Well, those photos are out there.
Well, I know, but there's a difference between doing it on stage and having a wax figure of you naked for the rest of time.
You must be a proud man.
maybe that's it. Who watched the debut of, speaking of new TV coming back, who watched the debut of TMZ TV last night?
Oh, I taped it. Was it good?
I taped it, too.
It was good. I mean, it was, you know, just like we talked about with MTV trying their thing at the VMAs this year, it definitely is going for something different. It's definitely not a blow-dried host reading a script and being in a studio. I mean, it's a lot like the website. And even from last night, I saw stuff that you're not going to see on any of these other entertainment shows because, you know, I don't know how TMZ does it, but they got video cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, like a crazy stalker fan coming up to Mike Tyson, for instance, and they have that on video. And that's the sort of thing they show on tape.
Wow.
But I wanted to bring it up, A, to congratulate our friend Harvey Levin, who I know listens and has been working very hard on this TV show. And it airs at 6:30 on Channel 11, Fox TV here in L.A. But B, because... remember he described to us that part of what you'll see in the show is the pitch meeting where he sits around with his 40 guys at the office and they all talk about what they've got on the show.
Right.
And one of the guys, and I don't know his name, they don't say that, but one of the guys is doing a pitch for a story about Criss Angel. And imagine how happy I was to see this guy who works for TMZ say this on my television last night.
And, I don't know, Criss Angel, he's just a douche.
So, you got that.
Criss Angel is a big douchebag, the douchiest of all.
That's awesome.
How long have we been saying that, and now it's not just on radio, folks. Now it's on TV, so it must be true.
And, I don't know, Criss Angel... he's just a douche.
So, exactly.
Well, were they discussing like whether to do a story on him or?
No, it was really just some awful outfit that he was wearing. He just looked ridiculous and absurd. And I don't know. He might have been tying it into, you know, him not being in
Vegas with Britney, but there's a difference between your Access Hollywoods and your TMZs. Is believe me, you're not ever going to get that on Entertainment Tonight or Extra or any of that.
And there's a reason for that. Those Entertainment Tonight shows count on the celebrities doing interviews with them.
Yes.
So they have to kiss their asses. They go way out of their way to be nice to celebrities, so the celebrities will be nice back. And you don't get the real story.
That is no fun for us.
Nope.
And like Harvey says, they're not going to be covering red carpet openings. I mean, they don't need to have the good relationship with the stars because they're not going to have the stars on to promote their new movie.
Right.
So that's what they're doing.
Today's
celebrity birthdays. Harry Connick Jr., Lisa, 40 years old today.
He's dreamy.
Is he? Ladies he love is. Him. I know they do love him, even though he apparently is the guy who ruined Will and Grace, from what I understand.
Is that right? Yeah, kind of.
That was
true.
The beginning of the end of that show. And by the way, as you listen to these birthdays today, I want you to feel some sympathy that September 11th is their birthday, which can't be fun for anybody. Moby is 42. We've talked to him about 6 years ago today when he woke up on his birthday and had a bad time in New York City. Ludacris,
what?
30 today. Hottie actress Virginia Madsen is 44, and director Brian De Palma is 67. That's the K-Rock Showbiz. Catching up with K-Rock.com, you know, we're posting new stuff up there all the time, including Kevin's latest round of photos, this time from the MTV VMAs. And as I'm looking at your pictures, I have to ask, is there anyone who knew that you were taking their picture? I mean, is there one shot that you have of somebody who was looking at the camera?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
British or not.
We didn't exactly have the best placement on the red carpet. So
a lot of people just running by you to get to Billy Bush is what it looks like from these photos.
Yes.
Oftentimes, Kevin didn't know he was taking a picture, though. So you got to remember, he's like, oh, whoops, the flash goes off.
Hey, I didn't know I took a picture. That's true. Yeah. And the other thing is, it's really hard to hold a camera still when you're drunk. So they didn't come out all that well. But I posted what I have. I mean, you see Hayden Panettiere's back.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you say
you
so. Sure,
you see Pamela Anderson's back.
Uh-huh.
Right. I mean, you know, that's the kind of Pharrell's hat. You know, that's the kind of stuff. And so we put those pictures up because they're such high quality.
This picture of 50 Cent, I thought he was having a seizure or something. He's so blurry. I couldn't figure out what was going on there, but he's just standing there, huh?
I moved the camera.
Yeah. What else did we put up from Las Vegas? I know we put up the video from our visit to the gun show, right?
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah. Gun
that
range,
was so great.
M16s,
Shooting automatic weapons was so much fun.
Speaking of gun shows, we also put up a video of me pumping up my guns with assistant producer Lightning. Or excuse me, executive producer Lightning.
Yeah. Lightning is not exactly a workout buff. However,
no.
You found out that he was in better shape than you thought.
Yeah.
What made you guys decide to work out in Vegas? Because he's Lightning, for God's sake.
Well,
he doesn't try to be in. He's like Bean. He doesn't try to be in shape. He's given up.
I mean, we were in Vegas on Saturday. I was going to go to the gym and work out. And
here's,
I said,
no, here's the thing. While we were in Vegas, before Mike got there, Lightning said, I brought clothes to work out. And we all said,
oh, that's right.
What are you talking about?
We lambasted
you
him for that.
Never work out. You're going to come to Vegas and work out once? That was ridiculous.
It's not like he's made a lifestyle change. He's decided he's going to work out regularly. He's but he did bring the clothes. That's
so
right.
He is weird, though.
All right, I'm working
out. He's weird like that, and he'll go on whims, though, where he will truly believe in his heart that today's the day he's going to make a change. But, you know, by the end of the day, he's eating Carl's Jr. and
that's
washing
the only
it down,
day that he does
washing it.
It
down with melted cheesecake as a beverage.
So you were working him out, it looked like.
Yeah.
And then at certain points, you decided to start just posing in the background. What was that about?
I don't know. It's hard for me to try to take anything seriously when I know there's a camera there, because I just want to like get as much exposure as possible.
Sure.
And I want to put me on display.
Yeah.
But Lightning
hang on,
and
hang
I.
Hang on a second. Note to yourself. Psycho Mike is a big douchebag. Okay, go ahead.
Jingle.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So Lightning and I went to the Mandalay Gym and pumped some iron, and it's just interesting because Lightning, I think, knows in his heart that he's a fat pile and is out of shape.
Sure.
Yet was still trying to like impose his view on everything. You know,
that's
still,
the way
that's
he does.
So Lightning, you know,
oh,
like,
sure.
No, this exercise is wrong. No, we should do it. Shouldn't I be doing this? Why aren't I stretching more? I'm just like, shut up.
Wait, so you're working out with him, a guy who has devoted his life to the gym, a guy who has worked and is working as a professional trainer. You're telling him how to do it,
right.
And he a guy who's worked out 20 minutes as an adult says no.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is also a guy who has never played a musical note in his life, yet would still pull like Rick Rubin aside and be like, no.
Yeah.
The way you produce that album is horrible.
He would totally do that, even to Rick Rubin.
You're ruining the Chili Peppers.
So that that video is up at krock.com. Psycho Mike and Lightning working out. The video of us shooting weapons in Vegas is up there. Did we get a shot of Lisa May coming off the ground?
Yes.
In that video?
Oh, yeah. It's in there.
I think we do.
He puts his hand up and puts her back down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
that was
in
awesome.
There.
She was just like, she's like lost gravity all of a sudden.
I was taken off.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Interview with 50 Cent is also up there, too, because if you heard the interview yesterday, you heard Kevin asking for his watch. When you see the watch, you'll know why we were blinded by thinking of anything else, because you could buy four houses in the San Fernando Valley with what you could get off selling that watch.
Yeah, it was amazing. So you could look at that video and a bunch of other stuff and a bunch of photos as well in our Slayer parking lot interviews. There's all kinds of stuff up at krock.com if you want to check it.
I don't know if you saw, Kevin. I know yesterday was a recovery day for you coming back from Las Vegas. I don't know how much investigative research you're able to do.
Not much.
But it got worse for Britney after the MTV Video Music Awards than just maybe the worst televised performance in history.
How could it have gotten worse?
Go to What Would Tyler Durden Do, WWTDD.com. To cap off her night of complete triumph, Britney Spears went back to her suite at the Bellagio Hotel, and on her way out of the limo, once again flashed the world. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's another Britney Beaver shot.
No.
Here's what Tyler writes. Honestly, the only way this chick could have gotten any more owned last night is if a shovel swung into the frame in these pictures and whacked her in the face.
Wow.
That's the kind of night Britney was having. And we thought, you know, we've got a good relationship with the little Pop-Tart.
Sure.
Let's have her back on the Kevin and Bean Show and see how she's doing. Good morning, Brit.
Hey, y'all. Morning.
Well, you sound remarkably chipper. I thought you'd be a little down today.
Why? Why would I be down, Beanie?
Well, you didn't get rave reviews for your performance on the MTV Awards.
Kevin, I was not at a rave. Oh, God.
Okay, that's not what I meant.
what about the people who said you looked under-rehearsed, that you looked doughy, that you almost fell, that you looked like you were a zombie sleepwalking through the performance? What about all of that? I mean, wasn't this supposed to be Britney's back?
Oh, my God. Awesome. Lisa, did you see my sparkly bra? It was so cute, y'all. It was awesome.
It was very sparkly, and your boobs look nice.
Thank you.
But
from the boobs up.
Speaking of which, tell us about the outfit. Did you have questions about wearing that particular outfit?
Y'all, the only question I had was how my feet were going to, like, stand up. Those were, like, high little stilettos, y'all.
I didn't notice the stilettos.
No.
Maybe less. Right, but maybe less drinking till 5 a.m. the morning of the performance would have made it a little easier for you to stand up, Britt.
Y'all, I'm Britney, bitch.
That is
well, yeah.
Well, that is
true.
Okay.
That's a little bloated, maybe.
Bloated?
Well, we're just saying, you know, it's not that you're fat for a regular girl.
No, not at all.
Because
fat with like a pH, like good?
Yes, that's what I mean. but if you're going to wear something that tiny on stage, you are going to pretty much point out that you're not in great shape. That's all.
That is like redonkulous.
Okay. All
right. Look, most women would kill to have that figure after two babies. Let's be completely honest here. But like Kevin said, you were kind of putting yourself out there. Well, listen.
Yeah, on the stage.
Right. Don't listen to us, Brittany. I have some comments from the TMZ.com website. I know you love that site, right?
TMZ, yay!
Okay. Well, they have a new feature, and I haven't listened to these yet, but these are just some of the comments from the website of people who are calling to support you in your performance. And I thought you were going to be a little down this morning. I thought you'd need some cheering up, so this would be something you'd be happy to hear. Okay?
All right, fantabulous.
All right, let's check the answering machine from TMZ.com calling about Brittany's VMA performance. First one.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe this. I thought I had bought tickets to SeaWorld.
Oh, well, ouch. I didn't.
Y'all, I did that once. I thought I was going to SeaWorld, and then I like, ended up at like Disneyland. It was so not fun.
I don't think that was her point.
Oh, that's fine, though. That's fine. All right. Here's another fan, Brittany.
Brittany, if you can actually sing, then prove it. Sing live. You need to stop with that awful, fake lip syncing. And also, put some clothes on. You don't look that good.
What about the lip syncing, Brittany? Had you heard the song before? Because it looked to us like you were maybe making it up as you were going along.
Well, sometimes I like to like pretend in my house and like make up songs like in the shower. And I had the headset on and I was like, oh, one time I remember this one song I was singing and I was like humming along with the other song. And I was like making up words in my head. And I was like, oh, my God, I'll put this down like in the studio, y'all. So then I just went out and I was like singing those words. You know what I mean?
Nope.
Yes. Yeah, no, I don't.
Don't have any idea.
All right, more Britney fans.
This girl is the gift that keeps on giving. Just when you think she's done and she has reached her limit, she comes up with something brand new.
Well, that is true. Are you done, Brittany? Are you going to take some time off now, maybe reevaluate the situation, get back in touch with your kids?
Oh, my God. I love gifts. One time, I got these, like, Bonnie Bell lip smackers in my stocking, and then I got this huge pack of, like, Bazooka and, like, Hubba Bubba. It was so awesome. I love her. I love gifts, too.
Y'all. Britney Spears, you loser. Goodbye. What a terrible show last night. That was sucked. You're no more popular as you used to be.
Right.
You can't sing for sh**.
Well said.
I can't believe MTV and the producers put you there. Shame on them. Your career is done. Rest in peace in your grave, bitch.
Whoa.
Loser. Wow. Goodbye. You are the weakest link. Bye-bye.
Spoken from a clear winner.
Yeah. Same MTV. They didn't have my Cheetos or my Tater Tots backstage, y'all.
Oh, so you're...
Shame on them.
That's what you're mad at MTV about?
Yeah, pshaw. I'm Britney, bitch.
Exactly. Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
All right, a couple more Britney fans. By the way, big ups for the weakest link reference.
Yeah,
wow.
That guy was
calling somebody else a loser. Yeah, exactly.
Britney Spears is basically like a fat hag now. She really needs to just go ahead and throw in the towel. She's lost. She's lost the battle. She's no longer very cool.
Wow.
I don't think people should be quite so mean to her, though, because it is for, like, being mean to someone who... is retarded. Oh, yeah.
So don't be mean to her because you can't be mean to somebody who's retarded, Brittany. Have you thought about that as a defense for everything that's been going wrong?
Yeah, like one time I yelled at Lindsay Lohan. I was like, so mean to her because she took my Baca Rebel. And I was like, that's my Baca Rebel. Don't take my Baca Rebel. I'm Brittany, bitch. But then, you know what? I was like, you know what? She's Lohan. Maybe I should not be like so mean to her and her fire crotch.
Okay.
Okay. So Brittany thinks it's other people that are retarded. All right. A couple more of the comments from TMZ.com. We have Brittany on the phone.
You gotta be frigging kidding me. That was seriously one of the worst performances I have ever seen. Where was all the illusion crap that was supposed to go on with Criss Angel? I swear all she did was walk around on her stage with her stomach hanging out of the outfit. She's not fat, but honestly, if I was that size, I would so not walk around on a stage on national television in my underwear. Britney Spears, go home, go take care of your kids, and leave show business to someone else.
Hey, Brett, what about all the Criss Angel stuff that we heard about? All those nights that you guys were spending together in the hotel, you said it was in rehearsal, and we thought there was going to be some sort of a magic act. What happened?
Y'all, Criss Angel is a douchey. He stole my eyeliner. I want my eyeliner back, Criss Angel.
Right, but...
Sounds like a falling out. Hate to see that relationship break up.
Okay. One more, Brit. Brit, are you enjoying hearing directly from the fans?
Oh, my God, my fans are awesome. I love y'all.
Okay, one more.
Girl, I think you need to go talk to those folks at what not to wear. Huh? And then, you know, also, you know, drink a little Red Bull to get some snap in your step.
Okay. There's some good advice as we say goodbye, Brittany.
Hell yeah.
Well done, Britt. Well done.
Thank y'all.
And bye-bye. This, of course, from a fan.
And how dare anyone out there make fun of Brittany after all she's been through? She lost her aunt. She went through a divorce. She had two kids. Her husband turned out to be
stop crying,
a user, a cheater, and now she's going through a custody battle.
All, right,
all you people care about is readers
stop
and making
crying.
Money off of her.
They don't read.
She's a human! What you don't realize is that Britney's making you all this money, and all you do is write a bunch of crap about her.
We don't write.
She hasn't performed on stage in years.
Right.
Her song is called Give Me More for a reason, because all you people want is more, 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 more.
That's a good
point. Ralph Garman's on vacation this week. We're continuing to keep a look at the showbiz beat for you here on K-Rock. And today is a legal trial, Kevin, that you may not have realized started today. I know I didn't.
What is it?
And this is one we've been waiting for a long time. Third U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia considers the famous wardrobe malfunction today. Today's the day. That goes
what?
To trial.
Yeah.
Yep.
You mean
well,
at
CBS
the Super
has
Bowl?
Been yeah. at the Super Bowl from 2004. CBS has has been appealing those fines, and it has worked its way up to this courtroom where it is the opening arguments are going to be today. Back in 2004, when Janet Jackson's nipple slipped out, and the FCC fined $27,500 for each of the network's stations, which I think ended up being around $500,000 or a little more. CBS said that was crazy. There's no way they could have foreseen it was happening. It wasn't their fault. It's an unjust fine. And they're taking it to court, and today's the day that it begins. Today's
excellent.
The day we find out what they end up ruling on that. So
excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
The wheels of justice move very slowly in this country.
No,
don't they?
Kidding. That was like when I was a kid.
It does seem that way.
It's not good for New York.
Right.
Okay. It's not good for America. It is not good for the entire world.
Okay, sir.
And so, CBS, shame on you.
Well.
Shame on you, CBS.
We'll see.
Did you guys see on TMZ Tommy Lee talking about the Kid Rock fight at the MTV Video Music Awards?
I didn't.
Yeah, what is he saying happened?
Well, here are his words exactly as he wrote on his website. Yeah, here I am minding my own biz, having a great time with my friend, Chris Angel.
Oh no.
And watching the MTV Awards in the front row saying hello to all my friends. Pamela comes across. And by the way, this is clearly a one-sided view of what happened. You know how usually each side has their own view and probably the truth is in the middle someplace?
Sure.
He says, Pamela comes and sits on my lap, who I love and adore. I get a tap on the shoulder from Kid Pebble. Oh, no, he didn't.
He did not.
He called Kid Rock Kid Pebble. He knows how to sling it, doesn't he? I stand up and embrace him with a semi-hug and say, hey, dude, what's up? He punches me in the face. Well, if you want to call it that, more like a bitch slap. Wuss. Anyway, I go to knock this jealous, no-career-having country bumpkin the F out. And before I can have a meeting with my fist and his ugly-ass mug, security guards, not mine, Pamela's, grab me and haul my ass out of the awards show.
That's a little too innocent, don't you think?
Why was Tommy Lee asked to leave and Kid Rock stayed?
I don't know, except for I think if Kid Rock was with Pamela Anderson and she was part of the show, maybe they want to, you know, he's kind of the outsider.
I don't know that Pam was there with Kid Rock because I saw the pictures of Pam sitting in Tommy's lap making out with him at the award show.
Well, if she did come with Kid Rock, then it makes sense why he punched Tommy.
Yeah, it does make sense.
But
yeah.
I think he punched him because he was with Chris Angel. And I support that.
He deserves that.
Excellent point. That's an excellent point, Lisa.
I was talking to a guy on the plane yesterday on the way home, and he said that he saw it, and the first hit was an open-handed slap by Chris Kid Rock.
Right.
By Kid Rock, yeah.
Okay.
Chris Rock. Kid Rock.
By the way, this is the first time I've heard. I'm glad you read that because I did not know that Chris Angel went to the awards. And, you know, for all the talk, and we just had Brittany on, for all the talk that he was going to be working with her for her opening, no pun intended, he basically was just sitting in the audience and watching her flounder. I mean, why didn't he do some of his hocus pocus and make her disappear or something from that stage?
He could have run up on stage and said, and now she's gone.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't know. Dave and I were at the red carpet, and we saw him walking in the red carpet, but then I didn't see him after that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened.
I'm sorry that Ralph isn't here because I know he loves any story involving Kirsten Dunst, especially if it's bad news. She, of course, the star from Spider-Man, and I think you guys are a little unfair on how much you hate her.
I think she's
pretty average looking, but for some reason you guys have decided she's the ugliest woman in the world.
Average looking and not a good actress.
It's that combination, and it's also the combination of she plays these super hot chicks that are supposed to be turning everyone on, and that just doesn't work for me.
She, of course, one of the stars of the Spider-Man movies. She has been dating for some time now Johnny Burrell, who is the lead singer for a band called Razorlight. Well, they've officially split up. Reports are because Johnny's a slob, and he admits as much. He tells the London Daily Mirror, "We were leading different lifestyles. It's over." She believes in equality, that a bloke should chip in with the housework. Fair enough, but I'm messy, and I love messing around with bikes. She couldn't stand the smell of stale fags. Mike, you know what that's all about.
Those are cigarettes.
Cigarettes. I mean, yeah, you've heard the term.
In England,
beer
cigarettes.
And kebabs in her nice living room. Can't say I blame her, really. The pair had been dating since last March. So he says she was, you know, she's neat, he's not. It's over, basically.
He sounds like a prize.
Wow.
Yuck.
He does
or
sound like a
he woke up one day and said, oh, my God, I'm dating Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, my God, look at her teeth.
One of the two. Yeah, I don't know.
Why didn't you fix those?
So she's available is what I'm saying. That's the good news for you guys.
Nope, don't need it.
Okay, yay.
You know, TMZ, we make fun of all the time as being in people's cars, in their houses.
Everywhere
I don't know.
Everywhere with cameras at all times.
I don't know how they do it, but Gary Dorden
from CSI.
From
CSI.
Oh, yeah.
Is caught on TMZ on video parking in a handicap spot. The guy can't even park in a handicap spot and get away with it.
Isn't
TMZ is there.
The guy that beat up the photographer from TMZ?
100%. Yep, sure is. Same guy.
Yeah. Oh, no wonder. Okay.
Oh, so now and they're last really night, tracking him.
That makes sense.
And even last night on the TMZ TV show that debuted, they showed him pulling away from a club and making an illegal U-turn in the middle of Sunset Boulevard and a police officer going through the intersection at the same time and turning around and catching him.
He's got to watch himself because you guys remember how mad Harvey was that guy when we first talked to him?
Yeah, you don't want to make Harvey mad. You don't want to be an enemy
of
his.
He's a thug and an asshole.
That's right.
Remember, over and over.
Well, he is an ass if he's parking in handicapped parking spaces. Unless
And he's beating up the photographers if they didn't do anything.
I'm just saying, he really PO'd Harvey. He should know that there's going to be an eye on him at all times.
He can't make a move.
He's going down.
Yeah.
And let me close with one more story. This probably won't be a surprise to anybody, but the ratings are just in for the first week of the new Nielsens for television. And, you know, some of the shows are just now starting to creep back onto the schedule. In case you're wondering what people are watching, the number one network in America among 18 to 34-year-olds, which is the people that that listen to this show,
right.
So
mm-hmm.
you may be interested to know, is by far Univision. Ladies and gentlemen.
Really?
Wow.
They beat Fox by 11%, beat ABC, CBS, NBC, and the CW by huge margins. They are the top-ranked network all night, every night, Monday through Friday in the 18 to 34 demo. The number one ranking. Number one ranking of
you know
all
why?
People. Not just Spanish-speaking people, or not just Hispanics, I should say, but all people.
You know why?
Boobs.
There's a lot of that.
Fantastic-looking women on Univision.
Yeah, that is very true.
Fantastic. They know how to do it.
I got to get back to Berlitz class. That's all there is to it. Today's celebrity birthdays, ultra-hottie actress Virginia Madsen, 44 years old today. Director Brian De Palma is 67. Moby, formerly a K-Rock artist. Haven't talked to Moby in a while. He's 42 years old today. Ludacris turns 30 today. And Harry Connick Jr. is 40. Is he still married to the hottie Victoria's Secret model, Lisa?
Yes.
Jill Goodacre?
Yes.
Oh, good times. Good times. 702, it's KRQ, FM passing in Los Angeles. That's the KROQ Showbiz Beat. We saw the sensitive side of assistant producer Super Horror yesterday. She wasn't just, over the weekend in Las Vegas, wasn't just a party girl, carefree, throw caution to the wind, Alex, was she?
I was drunk.
She was both, actually.
Hey, before we get started, did I mention 50 Cent Kiss Me and I was topless at the
Yeah, you need to stop saying that. Okay. So assistant producer Alex, we're having dinner, and she mentions that her guy, the guy she's dating, is coming to Las Vegas.
The guy she's dating steadily.
Over the weekend.
Which is kind of a new thing in my experience with Alex.
And I think Ralph just like offhandedly said, oh, what time's your boyfriend getting in? Oh, man, did that set her off. She was like, she started sweating, and sweat was pouring off her forehead, and her leg was jumping up and down, and she was tapping on the table. She's like, he's not my boyfriend. He's not my boyfriend. He's not my boyfriend. We were like,
wow, way to insult the guy, Alex.
We were like, easy, girlfriend. It wasn't a big deal.
Whatever, exaggerator.
Oh, please.
Ralph looked at me with that Ralph face like, so your boyfriend's coming in. Like, we're in seventh grade and we're girls at the lunch table.
Right, and you responded with?
I said, he's not my boyfriend. We haven't had that conversation yet.
Oh, yeah, you said
yet.
It like that. Uh-huh. Right. No, that's how you said it. Exactly.
Okay. First of all, this was a dinner stop before we went to LAX. So it was probably like midnight.
I know.
We had all had a few.
I know.
But what I'm just saying is...
What I'm saying is, it's your boyfriend.
No, he's not.
Okay, hey, easy.
Meaning you're not exclusive. You haven't had the, don't do anyone else and I won't do anyone else conversation.
Correct.
How long have you been dating him?
So you've been doing other people?
In the beginning, I was.
Okay.
And then, I don't know.
I thought I was going to catch her and she's like, no.
No, I mean, come on.
She hasn't lately.
I'm not going to lie about that.
She hasn't lately. That's why we said.
Yeah, we've been dating like maybe just about 3 months. And just slowly kind of realized, of course, after all of you brought it up, they're like, wow, I've really kind of just been sleeping with him and just dating him, and I kind of maybe had a panic attack.
But the word boyfriend did really cause a panic attack in her. It was really funny.
Because that means it's like serious and monogamous.
No, it doesn't.
You can't have a boyfriend.
And then you
like
have
three months.
To have the where are we going conversation
I don't want that
at some
crap.
Point.
Well, you don't have to marry him. I'm just saying you don't have to break out in a sweat when we say the word boyfriend.
What I'm saying to you is...
That's all I'm saying.
Can you have a boyfriend?
We didn't say he was a hepatitis
months?
Carrier. We said he was a boyfriend.
You
right?
can have a boyfriend at 2 weeks.
Can you have a boyfriend at 3 months?
But those
of course.
Girls are retarded then. I've never been one
I'm
of those
I'm not arguing
girls
that.
Who, you know.
Well, what's your limit? Do you have to go a year before he's your boyfriend?
That's good.
2 years? What's your limit?
A year's good. I don't know. I mean,
I think after 6 months, you kind of have to decide.
Am I a bitch if I let this go on any longer?
No. No, but as long as he understands what's going on.
He doesn't like it because he'd like me to make up my mind.
So what if, like, in a month he says, look, Alex.
One or the other.
Yeah, in or out. I really like you, and I don't.
Ding.
In and out.
In, please,
and I
thank you.
Don't want you to sleep with anybody else, and I want you to commit to me.
She would pass out.
Gonna,
she would black out.
I can't see you anymore.
Fall over, hit her head on the floor.
I would first order another vodka tonic.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I don't know. I might have to let him go. I don't know. Because I like the idea that I always have. I've always been able to date who I want, sleep with who I want. I don't have to answer anybody and do what I feel like on a whim.
That's great. And a lot of more people should know that, by the way, and not be in a relationship if they can't.
Right.
Commit,
yeah.
But it's scary. Like, you're just sleeping with one person.
And then we're hard to make up your mind, table of four. Hard to make up your mind, table of four.
And you're just dating, like, one person? I haven't really done that in a while.
Well, maybe it would be fun to try.
She also, I think, subconsciously has accepted the fact that she's happy that way and she doesn't want that. You don't, I mean, you have put out the vibe, like, I'm perfectly happy being single.
And I guess I can't imagine being happy with a boyfriend.
See, she can't even say it.
I'm not exaggerating.
It's like a bad word.
She can't say the word.
I think I'm going to throw up.
I have a clip here. I don't really watch The Hills much, but...
I'm so good.
Justin and Audrina apparently are a couple.
Oh, he's hot, but he's sound
kind
down.
Of a couple.
Sound
he's,
down.
He's picture down, too, by the way.
No, he looks like Johnny Depp. Looks like, how dare
he
you?
He looks like he needs a flea bath, Alex.
No,
come on.
He looks like a rock star on tour.
Poser Johnny Depp. Right. Like, he's trying so hard to be
this is
Johnny
a,
don't
Depp.
Get me wrong.
This is a gay conversation, okay? But here's a clip.
Well, Kevin, before you play the clip, what you need to know is they were boyfriend and girlfriend and broke up. And now this season of The Hills, they're kind of circling each other's universe and going out on some dates and
sniffing each other's behinds.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah. He wants them to be boyfriend, girlfriend, and she doesn't really.
I think
or the other way around.
He does,
He
does.
Yeah,
he doesn't.
Right. Okay, here's the clip.
For me, putting statements on things, be gone. Like, I don't like that. It's just...
My name is Alex.
It's the fact of...
Like the whole boyfriend-girlfriend label. Like with my friend, like Lauren and everyone, we go, what are you now?
Who cares? I don't like the fact that things get in your ear or my ear. Like, are you guys boyfriend-girlfriend? Like, who cares? Like, why do they care? It actually pisses me off because when something's working, you don't go f*** it up by throwing labels or doing stupid by throwing a ring on your finger because society or friends said. So, you know what?
No. I'm offended that MTV can't mic them better. why do we have to listen from all the way across the room?
I know I'm going to get yelled at for agreeing with the sound down douchebag.
Well, that's what I'm saying is he's not the guy you go to espouse your philosophy.
Yes, I've always been a private person in this regard, and so I don't like people knowing my business.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, if
he's not my boyfriend, then people know. Like, I don't like that.
So
I just,
when
like,
you get married, if you ever get married, you're not going to tell anyone?
Do we have to bring up the M word?
No, I can barely say the B word.
You don't think you're ever going to get married, do you?
No.
I will never sign
Alex
a piece of paper. I will never.
Destined to be an old maid. There's no question about that. She is going to wait about...
Old maid? What century do you live in?
Because you're going to...
What the hell is wrong with you? You act like
it's a
burn. That would be mean to you.
You're going to wait about 1 year too late till your looks are gone, and you're not going to be able to get anyone, and that's okay. You'll be fine with that.
Not true. Being someone married you, there's always hope.
Good point.
All right, we got to take a break, but here's what we need to do. We need to know whether Alex should be fine with the way she is or if she's missing out an opportunity here to make a change and to grow up a little bit.
If you have the same kind of commitment phobia, you could give us a call at 1-800-520-1067 and go out on a date with her because you would be a good match. By the way, let me just say this. We don't know your business because of the word boyfriend. We know your business because he came to Vegas with us. Don't bring him to Vegas if you don't want him to.
I didn't say he was my boyfriend. He's just the guy I'm dating.
See? Slash banging.
See? See that? See that?
Yep, there it is.
Say it.
Very sensitive.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the World
Famous Kevin. Off the air is nothing. Way better than on
just
air.
Making jokes before we went on the air. All right, it's Foo Fighters, Kevin and Bean, 7:25. Your tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion, which is this Saturday coming up soon, so keep listening.
Foo Fighters.
Yep.
So excited.
Assistant producer Alex, by the way, who's just a couple of years away from being the crazy cat lady who lives alone, has the opportunity to have a boyfriend. There's one guy out there who's willing to say, baby, it's just you. And she basically is spitting in his face. She's spurning his advances. He's a nice guy. She likes him. No, I will not be your girlfriend.
I like Bean's explanation of things.
So not true. First of all, other men in my life have asked me, and I've said no. And I think the reason why I've just never had a boyfriend is, one, you never cheat and you never have to break up. You True. Just go, look, I date lots of
so
guys.
So you're afraid to swing for the fence, so you're not even going to ever get a hit. That's what you're saying.
A guy like next week and I want to just sleep with him. I mean, I can.
You should be able to.
Right. Thank
okay.
You.
Okay. Well, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Walter? He's calling from L.A. And we don't ordinarily try to give Alex advice, but we've seen that she was freaking out in Las Vegas by the B word. She really was. Yeah. And we had to find out what that's all
she
about.
Was on
hey,
the
Walter,
floor,
you're on the air.
Rolling around. She had foam at the mouth.
That wasn't foam.
Hi. Hi, Walter. What do you think,
hello,
Walter?
Hello.
Hi.
I have two comments here. Yep. Obviously, for one is, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. And number two is, she'll never be MILF material.
Well, I don't want to be a mom, and I don't want to be a housewife. So done and done.
Perfect.
Thanks, Walt.
I think she's cool with that. Thank you for the call, though. Let's go to Lisa in Manhattan Beach.
Manhattan Beach, South Bay girl, where I live. She'll have my back.
Don't do it.
There you go. Yeah. She does have your back.
Don't get a boyfriend.
Why?
I have been a serial monogamist for years. And it all has amounted to nothing.
Oh, wow.
So you would, if you could go back and change things in your life, you would never have had a serial monogamous relationship?
Never. I've been with guys for like 5 years with this one, 6 years with that one. I just was engaged for a year, and we've been together almost 6 years, and now he's like, oh, I don't want to be here anymore, and now I am going to be a super hoe.
No. So it's made you bitter. But see, there are a lot of positives about this guy in monogamy. I mean, he's a great guy.
He is.
Like,
they're
all
no
great,
idea
great
he's
in the
me.
Beginning. They're all great in the beginning.
Bitter party of one. Bitter party of one.
Don't do it.
All right, Lisa. Thank you. Take
it
easy.
But Lisa, couldn't she, I mean, at some point in those 5 years that she's with guy one or 6 years she's with guy two, isn't she happy in those relationships? I mean, she's still online?
Yeah, she's still there.
In the beginning, yeah, it's fabulous and stuff. And then, you know, you guys think that, you know, you talk about it and you're going on the same path. And then one day, I don't know, the jerk wakes up and decides, oh, I want to go someplace else. And you're like, no.
You
wow.
know,
but she needs to be single and free and have fun. And, you know, hey, honey, I totally know what you mean. When you see a guy and he's yummy and you want him, and then the little good angel on your shoulder is like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then that angel is like, go for it.
All right, Lisa, you just need to bang around for a while and have some fun.
I'm
okay, because you sound very bitter. Okay,
I'm not bitter.
No.
Oh no,
no, you don't sound.
No,
bitter.
Not at all.
All right, we got
it.
I mean, the
Thank
point
you.
Is, when you have a relationship, every relationship you have is a failure until you get married, because you break up with everyone until you marry someone,
and that turns out to be a failure too.
And then you divorce.
No, marriage
them.
Is forever.
But see, here's a good example. We were at I don't know Tryst one of the days in Vegas, and we were all dancing, having a great time. And I see this great group of guys, and you know, when I get my load on, I like to find.
Oh, you do.
I like to find a cancer stick, and I
sure.
see this adorable group of guys are from Chicago, my total weakness, and they're smoking. My first goal is to get a cancer stick. Second goal is to be like, hey, they're cute. And then I realize while I'm doing this, oh, that may not be a good idea, since my other dude is at the bar buying me a drink.
Because I have a dude here.
But I still got the cigarette, and then I talked to them for a little bit, and then I walked away. And apparently he didn't like that, because he thought I was trying to, like, flirt with them. And I was like, I just wanted a cancer stick. I've had, like, 8 vodka Red Bulls.
Mike
I tried
in,
not to flirt.
Mike in Riverside.
But it was really
Hi.
Hard, because he was cute.
Because you make a habit of flirting, which is fine.
Sure.
That's
I do.
What you
and that's the other thing. I'm totally flirty. You guys know. Yeah.
Mike, go ahead.
Mike.
Yeah, hey, I just want to say I was where you were like 2 years ago. You just haven't found that guy to completely, completely rock your world. That's it.
He's awesome, though. I mean, we are the opposites that attract. I mean,
I don't know
time...
if that's it, Mike. I think your head has to be in the right place to make that commitment, no matter who you meet.
Yeah, that's true. And then what if you're not when you meet the right person, then
that's
you're gone.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Let's take Nicole. She's on line 5 calling from Newport Beach. We're talking about Super Whore, who has some commitment issues, just like Justin on the Hills. Hey, Nicole, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Me and Justin sitting in a tree.
Hi, Nicole.
First, I want to say that I totally agree with Lisa May. Every relationship's a failure until marriage. So that being said, you just enjoy with what you're doing. So you don't need to put the label on it. If you like them, stay with them, have a good time with them, and, you know, just keep going with that. If you sleep with somebody else, you obviously didn't care about them enough.
Right.
What happens, though, that this guy who she says is great, that she loves spending time with, if it gets to be 2 more months down the road or 6 more months down the road, and he says, look, I'm ready for more. What's she going to do?
That's serial monogamist. I mean, he's never dated anyone like me. Like, he's
right.
like, you're just so different and great. I'm like, oh, this is not going to go well.
Yeah, you need to.
Funny, because he likes that you're not like everyone else,
but
and yet that could also fail the relationship.
Of. And if every relationship's a failed a failure, excuse me, till marriage. I'm still drunk from Vegas.
But that doesn't mean that you can't
get married.
It doesn't mean you can't have fun and enjoy it. It doesn't mean it's a failure every second.
Why do we have to call it something? Why can't we just say,
dude,
he's my
easy.
Dude,
we don't. We don't take it easy. Just take it easy.
No, I'm going to call him her boyfriend from now on.
Let's say good morning to Dion.
It's not an insult, Alex, to call somebody a boyfriend. It's a compliment.
I don't view it as an insult. It's just not where I am. To me,
that's not reality.
I'd like to say this. I met him, and he's way too good for you.
I know.
Dion?
He's not dead inside. He's still, like, is happy. He's awesome, right?
I thought everything was great and was going to work out. I was like, see, Alex belongs to this guy. They're so perfect together. And then the Eagles of Death Metal showed up at the party, and I saw how Alex damn near passed out from sexual passion and was just wrapped around their lead singer.
Queens
and I'm like,
of the Stone Age and Eagles of Death Metal showed up, and I was like, oh, I got to go. And I, like, walked over.
Nice.
It was as if he never lived. Like, her supposed boyfriend never existed. He was gone.
I'm sure a lot of girls wouldn't blame her for that. Dion.
Thank you.
In Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Man, I just want to go on record and say, man, you know, I agree with her as far as, you know, she's being honest with everybody. But, man, I'm a black guy from L.A., man. You can't do that with sisters, man.
Oh, really? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Because girls don't have that attitude? Black girls don't?
Hell
no. They want boyfriends?
I can't with them. They'll kill you, man.
They'll kill you.
They'll shank you in your sleep.
But, Dion, let me ask you this then, and this is a serious question. Then why do so few black couples, even with children, get married? If the women are insisting on commitments, why are there so few weddings?
Well, it's not a matter of some of the women are scared of getting married as a man, but they're not going to have you with them and then other people.
Right,
you
sure.
You can't tell a black woman, hey, you know what? I want to date you and I want to date her, man. That's the quickest way to get rid of both of them.
So you want to say to black girls out there, hey, be more like Alex?
Pretty much, but I mean, they're not going to listen, but no. Yeah.
All right. All right.
Well, hey, Dion, I just want to test our theory. You're black. Would you date me?
Would I date you? I've never seen you. I don't know anything about you. I mean, you know.
The answer's no.
Black men don't date me.
The answer's no. Black men are not.
It's not that. It's not that. I don't date stuff just because it's white. I mean, I want to see what you look like at least. I want to know a little bit about you.
Yeah, well, that then she's screwed. All right.
Yeah, she's better on the radio than she is in person. That's what Kevin said. Okay.
I'm just teasing.
Right now, Kevin Amin, Afroline, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. It's an answer machine. You leave a message, we put it on the air.
I don't remember calling the Afroline from Vegas, but...
This is a mess.
Kevin, that's totally you.
Zod.
I just heard a gay man say they bump bottoms. That's gay.
Really? Here's a question I've never thought of before.
If you have sex with a pregnant chick... Does that count as a threesome?
Oh, ew. Ouch.
Ooh. I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, ouch, no.
Yeah.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Hey, guys. So I'm watching the pre-show Royale live from Vegas, and I see these two white flashes of hot lightning on the TV. Oh, no, wait. It was Kevin's hair. The only one on TV with worse hair than Kevin was that doofus John Norris from NTV.
By the way, my hair's
always
been bad.
By the way,
somebody said to him, we need to overdo you. We need a complete overdo because he had super bright hair and he also had the darkest guy liner of anyone there.
It wasn't John Norris, you guys. You thought that was John Norris on the pre-show?
Yes.
It was Nick Rhodes from 1985's Duran Duran lineup.
How crazy was that? It didn't look
anything
unbelievable. Like him.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I always looked terrible. He just joined the ranks of terrible, so congratulations to him.
Hey, Kevin and Dean, all I have to say about Britney Spears' performance is mud flaps. I like mud flaps.
I'm sorry?
Mud flaps. I like mud flaps.
Okay.
That girl's fat.
Oh, come on. There's no end to the Hey Delilah parodies.
Oh, no.
No end. And I made the mistake. I made the mistake while I was in Vegas of they were playing Hey There Delilah, the dance version. They
really?
Put a beat to it. And I was just talking to Dave at the King of Mexico. I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And a girl turned around and said, hey, I like this song.
Hey there, Delilah, what's it like in California? I hear San Diego's pretty nice, but girl, can you afford to pay the rent? Imagine all the time you spent and time that went. Oh.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. That's a bad idea. You don't have to do a song with that.
It was awful.
Don't feel like you need to do that.
Oh, I hear the weather's fine.
was hoping you would forward that to the next one there, Mike.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, because I said I'm going to stop it there. So just go ahead and hit that button to fast forward. Thank you very much. Here we go.
Luciano?
Oh, no. Really?
Wow.
That's a long way for a Pavarotti death joke.
That's a long slide for an out if you're going for Luciano Pavarotti, who died last week, I think.
I enjoyed that.
Anna?
Yeah. And finally.
Hey, my good friend, Psycho Mike. Don't make fun with Armenians no more, and I give you a good deal on body gel so you can impress the ladies with your styling chest hair and arm hair.
Okay, bro. How about I unbutton my shirt a little bit, huh? Smoke cigarette? Tell you where I'm coming from. Glendale!
Brown.
Glendale's my town.
Brown.
I love System of a Down.
Brown.
Because I'm Armenian, bro. Covered in hair and jewelry from head to toe. Dracar cologne ingrained in my chromosome. Come to my shop, I give you pager and a cell phone. Jewelry on my arm from the knuckle up. Hop in my BMW and then I buckle up. Cruising through Glendale, smoking cigarettes, looking for my homeboys, bitch, or even better yet, a nice Armenian girl I can flirt with, covered in fur even when the bitch is shirtless. Check my breath, it smells something awful. I should have brushed my teeth after I had that falafel.
Hummus, kebab, shawarma, tabbouleh.
I have to shave my unibrow, it's getting unruly, and shave my back hair to keep it in check. My penis is so hairy that it has a pubic turtleneck. So brow down, Armenian pride, I slick back my hair as I cruise to the west side. Glendale Galleria, Armani Exchange, gonna get a silk shirt within my price range. Marlboro cigarettes and cologne, gonna go back to my shop and then I'll slang more cell phones. That's right, bro. You know what it's like. Life of Armenian player, huh? Hit that chorus one more time.
Brown.
So okay, vakadishavata.
Brown.
Bro.
Today is a big day in CD stores or iTunes downloads because 50 Cent is available and Kanye West is available. And we got a Kanye story to kick off the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Ralph's on vacation. Kevin Abean here filling in. Kanye was on Z100 in New York yesterday, which is a Kiss FM type radio station out there. And he had two things to say that I thought were interesting. One is he blames MTV for Britney's bad performance, saying that they exploited her. Now,
come on.
He says they exploited Britney in helping to end her career. When Britney was opening the VMAs near the end, I felt so bad for her. I said, man, it's a dirty game. The game will chew you up and spit you out. This is what he said. Now, didn't MTV give her the best possible platform in the world to launch a comeback? If she had taken it seriously, prepared for it, and come out and looked great and performed great, we'd all be saying, Britney's back.
He could feel bad. I mean, I understand. Maybe he likes her. Maybe he just does think that the business chews you up and spits you out, which it may.
Sure.
Right.
But it was really on her that night.
And she certainly could have pulled out.
That's what she said.
Damn it. Sir, you had a comment about Brady?
That girl's fat.
Right. He also went on to say, when asked about the reports that he had thrown a big tantrum in the hotel after he didn't win any of the five awards, he said, I wasn't just mad that I didn't win any of the awards. For me, MTV made it seem like performing on the main stage was a bad thing and that the suites were just so great. It was my dream when I made Stronger, which is his new song from his new graduation CD, to open up the VMAs with a real power performance. So apparently he was not a fan of the new format, which was to have most of the musical acts not on the stage at the Pearl at the hotel, but just to be in the various suites throughout the hotel.
I think he should write them a letter of thanks and say, thanks for featuring me in my suite 10 times more than anyone else that night.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. His face was on the TV more than anybody else that night. You're absolutely right about that.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
All right, thank you. Who had Days of Our Lives star Kirsten Storms in the celebrity DUI pool?
I don't even know who she is.
Don't know who that is. I'm sorry.
Damn. She's apparently
she's a drinker,
got pulled
though.
Over.
I know that.
She's on General Hospital.
She's a goer.
On General Hospital.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah,
well, I'll look her up.
Drunk driving over the weekend. So nobody had her in the pool?
No.
All right. Yeah.
I'm sorry to say.
She's a whore, okay?
That girl's fat.
Okay, I don't yesterday, think so. She's hot.
Yesterday, the Oprah Winfrey Show came back for its 22nd season, and they did something special by basing the show in New York City for the day. And Oprah's number one all-time wish list guest is David Letterman. She's never had Dave on the show. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
She's been on Dave's show before. They've had, you know, they did that comedy spot for the Super Bowl last year. It was very funny. But he's never been on her show until yesterday. David Letterman, who hates to do interviews, finally appeared, and it was very funny. And he brought a top 10 list along about things he loves about his host.
All right, that's the thing. And the category top 10 reasons I love Oprah. Number 9, without her, we would have never known that quack Dr. Phil. Number 6, Oprah's incredibly busy, yet she still finds time to ignore my calls. Number 4, taught me how to launder money in the Cayman Islands. Number 3, Oprah gave me my first post-surgery sponge bath. And the number 1 reason I love Oprah, she's giving everybody in today's audience a new house.
I wouldn't be surprised, but no, that was not the case yesterday. You know, the thing about Dave, and I've always subscribed to this theory that he has, is...
Oprah, nopra.
That's my policy.
That's right, that's true.
Does my butt look big?
Yes, it does. Thank you for asking. All right. In other showbiz stories, let's talk about Victoria Beckham.
Oh. Okay.
Having dinner with Katie Holmes and walking out on the bill without leaving a tip.
Oh, dude.
That is inexcusable.
That's what I think. Unless, like, I usually tip more than usual, but because I kind of feel bad that they're doing that harder work when I'm just sitting there on my ass.
If you've ever waited on tables, it sucks.
But if they're really, really awful, like if they don't pay any attention to you or whatever, I won't tip.
Do you
and
really
they
think
don't say in this story.
Two had a meal somewhere where someone ignored them.
That's a good point.
No.
No, you're right.
Yeah, they're not eating. Bitch. They're not eating the Red Lobster, let's face it.
Yeah.
So they walked out without leaving a tip.
Boo.
TMZ.com, as you know, is our favorite entertainment website. They debuted their new television show last night, and if you want to see it, it's at 6:30 on Fox 11. They're doing a story tonight about the woman, remember, that was in the firestorm of controversy who allegedly had an affair with David Beckham. This woman that he cheated on Victoria with is apparently now moving to L.A.
Oh, good.
No.
Excellent.
Which can't be good news for anyone involved, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to do that story. I tuned in for the first episode of TMZ TV last night, and it is definitely, I mean, you know, we love Harvey and we love his website, and it's a lot like Harvey and the website come to life.
Which is perfect.
Definitely a lot different from the other shows, and I'm kind of tired of the blow-drying hosts who are reading scripts. I mean,
Absolutely.
It is way more off the cuff, and it has way more, you know, their video cameras are everywhere. I don't know how they do it, but they got video all over this country. I think they're they got surveillance on us right now.
Yeah,
they're probably filming it. But one of the things I was really pleased about to see on TMZ TV last night was one of the writers for the site who's in the news meeting in the morning with Harvey and has this to say. And how many times have we said something very close to this on the Kevin and Bean Show?
And I don't know, Chris Angel, he's just a douche.
Angel is a big douchebag, the douchiest of all.
I thought we were the only ones who had noticed that, but apparently it is now widely known and accepted in Hollywood that Chris Angel is a big douchebag.
Don't be a sucker.
Kathy Griffin won the Creative Arts Emmy this past weekend, for her reality show My Life on the D-List. She made an acceptance speech that will not be aired.
Well, this is the one we were talking about a couple days ago where she said, suck it, Jesus, or something like that.
She said, a lot of people come up here and thank Jesus for this award. I want you to know that no one had less to do with this award than Jesus. Jesus can suck it. And they're not going to play that. I guess this coming Saturday, they're going to play these awards and the acceptance speeches and everything, and they're going to edit that out.
Wuss.
Not going to be aired.
What channel?
I think E.
Okay.
I believe E.
Jesus can suck it. I think that's a good message to take away from today's Kevin and Bean Show.
It's really, it's
particularly
really
on September 11th.
It's really offensive. I understand that, especially to Christians, but it's also clearly not serious.
She's being funny.
I don't think she's being serious with that. So
hey, she wouldn't have won an Emmy unless she said stuff like that, right?
Yeah, true.
Way to go, Kath. Today's celebrity birthdays: actor, musician Harry Connick Jr. turns 40 years old today. Hottie actress Virginia Madsen is 44. What was that? It was Sideways that she was in, Lisa,
mm-hmm.
one of her movies recently.
Really made her big famous
big comeback. So, yeah. Director Brian De Palma is 67 years old today. How about Moby, former K-Rock artist? Hope to hear something from him again soon. He is 42 years old today. And Luda, I know you guys were partying with him in Las Vegas over the weekend. Ludacris.
What?
Is 30 years old today. That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. I was having a conversation with my wife, Donna, last night about today being September 11th, being 6 years since the attacks in New York. And two things came up in the conversation. One is, it seems like so long ago in some ways.
Yeah, it does.
Two is, I can't remember a time before there was a September 11th. It seems like we've lived this way our whole lives, even though it's only been 6 years, because it really was one of those sea changes in the world where you can't go back to a time before. Right. You can't ever go back to September 10th, 2001.
Yeah.
Because it made such an impact. And there's been a lot said now that it's 6 years on as to how people are continuing to remember it and how much people do want to talk about it and how many events are still scheduled for September 11th. And there is a local one that's going on that we like to highlight each year because there's a good dude behind it. And it's Gary Biggerstaff, who is a Long Beach fireman, back on the phone with us. Kevin, not this year. Come on.
His name is Biggerstaff.
Not this year. I know, but
every year, if his name is Biggerstaff, I have to laugh.
But there has to come a year at which you get past that.
Nope.
Gary, welcome back to the Kevin DeBede Show. How are you, my friend?
Hey, thanks for having me on. Sure. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Gary. How you doing?
Good.
Gary emailed us while we were in Vegas, which is usually the way to not get a hold of us.
True.
Yeah, no kidding.
Lisa grabbed it and brought it to us.
Hey, Gary, before we talk about the event that you have today, which, again, is going to be free and open to the public, before we give out all the details, what is your sense for the way people are remembering or the numbers in which people are remembering and talking about September 11th? Do you see much of a change this year being 6 years versus last year being, in some people's minds, maybe a more significant 5 years?
Well, it's one of those events, certainly within all of our lifetimes, that's going to leave a permanent stain forever. And the thing that I've noticed is each year, this event that I throw, it gets bigger each year. And I don't know why that is, but it seems to. I mean, I've been doing this for 5 years now, and each year it has successively gotten larger.
You know what I feel like, personally, is that I'm really, really well aware of it and don't want to spend a lot of time thinking about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I'm sure some people feel that way.
It's not like it ever went away in my conscience, so it's like it's just uncomfortable, downer kind of a thing. But tell us about your ride and what it's for.
Well, the ride today will leave from Cook's Corner, and it's comprised mostly of firefighters, police officers, and military personnel, though the public is welcome to attend.
Okay.
The ride is free. We leave from Cook's Corner in Orange County, and we're escorted the entire way by five different police agencies and five different fire departments. We've got the military involved this year with the Marines and the Navy.
Wow.
And we've got flyovers by helicopters, and it's just the craziest thing.
Who do you know, for God's sakes, Gary?
It's been a lot of work to establish all those relationships and get everybody on board. But
last year it was like five guys riding bicycles, and this year you got this whole thing going on.
How many
people show up for this event? How many people actually get in on the ride?
Well, last year we had about 340 riders, and we had about 1,000 people at my front yard. And if you can imagine what that's like to have 1,000 people over for a little get-together.
Good times.
Yeah, good time. It really is. It's kind of restores your faith in humanity a little bit to see that many people will come out and spend a little time thinking about the day and talking about the people that were lost and the families that were left behind.
Tell us why people end up at your house.
Well, they end up at my house partially from the motorcycle ride, and partly because the first thing I started was to put 343 white crosses on my front lawn. Each cross has the name and company number of an FDNY fireman that died, and there were 343 of those guys, so each one is represented out there. And I also have a plaque dedicated to the 61 police officers that died that day. And it's kind of a pilgrimage. People come here to see those crosses, and it's a very powerful visual reminder of the real toll that day took, not only on those 343 firemen and the 61 police officers, but also on the families that were left behind. And that's what really inspired me more than anything, was my trip to New York and seeing all the personal notes from family members and that were left behind. You know, we all saw on the news broadcast where there were pictures and notes of people looking for family members.
Right.
They were trying to seek them out.
Right.
And when you walk the streets of New York after September 11th, you couldn't avoid those. And you start reading them, and there were so many personal ones from children to their missing fathers, and in many cases to missing firemen, that those notes really ate me up. And I felt like I had to come home and do something to make sure people back here in the L.A. area did not forget the victims and the heroes of September 11th.
And that's a good point that you make, because it is so far away, because it didn't happen in our backyard. It is easy to feel the distance from it. But one thing about being a fireman, and you're with the city of Long Beach, right?
Correct.
Is, there's a brotherhood among people in your line of work unlike any other, right?
There really is. It's the fraternal salute that we get on this day for guys coming out. to think about the other firemen. It really is a moving experience. And we go back. We have a group of 45 guys that go back from Long Beach Fire Department every year to march in the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York City. We've established relationship with those guys. And guys really come from all over the country to march in that parade. And there's a real brotherhood, not only nationwide, but I think it extends even beyond our own borders within the fire service. When you go and you meet somebody on vacation that's a fireman, or you know they find out that you are, you're embraced completely differently. You're called, you know, hey, brother, how you doing? And they throw their arms around you and give you a hug. And if
that's
you
cool.
need help, it really is something. It's,
hey, Gary, did you happen to see, I know this sounds like it's off topic, but it's going to come back around. Did you happen to go see the Michael Moore movie Sicko this summer?
I didn't catch it. I didn't catch that one.
There's a scene where Michael Moore takes some people from the United States to Cuba, and of course his movie is about the medical system, but they visit a fire station and they start talking to these firemen in Havana who are obviously aware of 9/11 and express the exact same thing that you're talking about, even though these two countries barely have any relationship. These guys down in Cuba just bawling their eyes out at the opportunity to even meet, because some of the people Michael Moore was with were New York City firemen, to even meet these guys. They were just the reverence and the awe for what those departments went through on September 11th is something, you're absolutely right, that looks like it's felt around the world.
It's just a very unique occupation and a unique group of guys, and to compare it to most other occupations is probably unfair, because it's just much deeper than that. There's definitely a fraternal brotherhood there that and a bond that is created, and I think it a large part it's created from the efforts we have to put in to get the job. And then once we get it, you know, you're often asked to put your life in harm's way for others. And when you do that to collectively as a group or as a team to accomplish a goal, there's just an automatic bond that forms, and that's what sustains us.
Well, on such a, you know, it's a depressing memory. It's a depressing thing that happened. It is good to focus on such a positive show of really heroism. I mean, you don't use that word very often, but it really is something to focus on.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
You think about it, those guys that ran into that building, you know, both the firefighters and the police officers, the guys that ran in, the rescue workers, they had to have a pretty good idea that this might be their last call, especially
right.
the guys that went into the second building. I mean, the likelihood of that thing coming down was pretty high, and they were going up the stairs, huffing and puffing, going to save people while everyone else was running for their lives the other way, which is sort of an amazing thing in itself.
It is.
Certainly. But you would admit, Gary, I think, that strippers are still better.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think there's any question there.
let me give out some of the highlights again for folks who are tuning in and going, wow, this sounds like something I really want to be a part of. You're leaving from Cook's Corner at 3:15, and that's where, in Tribuco Canyon, is that right?
Yeah, Tribuco Canyon down in Orange County. We leave from Cook's Corner. We'll be escorted by the Orange County Fire Department on our way out of there, and it'll be quite a sight to be a part of this ride and the ceremony as well. It's a touching ceremony that only takes about 25, 30 minutes, and it's mostly patriotic songs and a few personal stories. I have some folks that have personal stories to tell about September 11th that either went there and worked there at Ground Zero, or that maybe had family members or close friends that died. And so it's, you don't have a lot of long-winded speeches by people that are just having to take up time. It's much more personal ceremony.
That's at around 3:15, and then you're also going to be kind of regrouping and adding on to the caravan at Joe's Crab Shack at 5:40, and then going to your house for the ceremony. Hey, you know, being a year away from the election, do you have any presidential candidates who are trying to glom onto your event for some camera time today?
I haven't had anybody stop by yet.
Excellent.
All right, let me get out. You know how they are about stuff like that. Let me get out the website address that has all of the information that we've talked about and more about Gary. It's remember911ride.com. Remember911ride.com. And if you don't have it, you can call us here at K-Rock. And I guess we'll talk again in a year, Gary. Thank you for thinking of us when you were looking to promote your event today.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Gary.
We'll see you next year, Lisa. Next year you're coming on the ride, right?
Yeah, I'm coming.
Yes, she is.
Now I have her on the radio. She's tried to get it.
I decked out twice now.
Really?
Well, I got
her. Now you guys got to hear this. You know what her excuse was? Is she couldn't go on the ride this year? Lisa,
what?
Should I really?
It's okay. Kevin already knows.
What was it?
Oh, she struggles hard. She can't go because she's going on a 2-day road trip with her dogs
and my mom.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, no, listen, that's Lisa right there in a nutshell.
That's my vacation, and I got a lot to
right
do
there.
To get ready.
Good times.
Certainly more important than firemen in 9/11, Lisa. I think you made the right call there.
Well, you got to get
all right.
the priorities in line.
Gary,
right?
Next year, we're going to make her do it.
Okay.
Thank you, man.
Bye,
right,
Gary.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. What? What? What's funny?
Raider.
Yeah, they lost to the Lions.
Raider.
Opening weekend this past weekend.
Let me just tell you, this is Bean speaking, and you can write to me at Kevin at KRock.com if you're a Raiders fan. I love football just like every other guy, and I especially love my Oakland Raiders because, and I have to reset this position every year so people understand where I'm coming from. Not just because they're terrible, and they were 2-14 again last year, but because their fans amuse me. That's what I love about the Raiders, because their fans believe the Raiders are the best team in the NFL, even though they've won about six games in the last four seasons. That's what I love about it. Raider fan.
They're also the quickest to threaten.
Yes, they really are. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Raider fan number one, Kevin Bean, hardcore listener. Rudy is on the line with us right now with a preview of the – what's – what? Rudy?
Rudy?
Hey, Rudy. Rudy. Can you turn off the old school for just a minute and talk to us, Rudy?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, Rudy?
Hey, Kevin and B, what's happening, eh?
Well, listen, sorry to interrupt your Art LeBeau time here, but can we talk about your Oakland Raiders?
Oh, yeah, no, of course we can. Raiders! Raiders!
Right. What did you think about game one?
What do you mean, eh? The preseason games?
No, this past weekend was the beginning of the season.
Nah, it starts this weekend, eh? Like Detroit, you're going down, puto. Detroit, in
okay.
your face,
hey,
eh?
Hey, Rudy? Rudy?
Rudy, Detroit won 36-21. That game was played Sunday. It's over.
Shut up.
No, they already played. The opening weekend was this past weekend, and the Raiders played Detroit and lost 36-21.
Damn. That's disappointing.
To the Detroit Lions.
All right. Well, whoever's next, you're going down.
But, Rudy, what were you – A, what are you basing that on? And, B, where were you this past weekend that you couldn't watch your Raiders?
Oh, man. This last weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I went with Sad Girl to one of her dad's houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to this, like, Gap Band show.
The Gap, okay.
I think. No, not the Gap, puto, the Gap Band.
Okay, Gap Band.
What, do you think I need some chinos?
No, I'm just saying.
Nice
go ahead.
Sweater. Stupid. We went to the swap meet, and then we saw the Gap Band. And then, like, I remember us smoking Yesca.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yeah.
That's about all
so you
remember
the game.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to ask for some clarification. When you say you went to one of Sad Girl's dad's houses, you don't mean that her dad has lots of houses. You mean that she has lots of dads,
I mean,
each with a house.
One of her numerous fathers. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
So, okay. Like, right now I'm at Camacho's Cantina in mm-hmm. City of Industry. I'm in the parking lot waiting. They're going to do, like, an auction, you know, Raider gear, you know, like to help raise money, like a booster type thing, you know what I'm saying? Eh?
To raise money for what?
I don't know, you know, just like to get people pumped for the season, you know what I'm saying? Like, they got a bunch of Raider, like, paraphernalia, and like,
right.
You could, like, bid on it. Last year, I think John Madden came last year, the real one, and he spent like a couple $1,000. He bought Lala Ozedo's 81 jersey.
Hey.
And this year, I'm hoping I'm going to put in a bid on Randy Moss's 2006 Jerry Curl activator. You fly, Jerry Curl.
Hey, Rudy, it doesn't seem to have bothered you that the Raiders lost to the Detroit Lions. For most fans, would be bad.
I don't believe you.
No, it already happened.
And B, I can numb the pain.
Yeah,
well, there is that.
Always be.
What about, there's a lot of excitement in the Raider Nation. Rudy, all right?
Yeah, I'm just flipping through the media guide they sent me. Eh? Like, there's a lot of stuff they got. Like, to get you ready for the season, let's see here. Oh, let's check it out. There's, like, the celebrities, the Raider celebrities. They got pictures of all the people here.
Right.
And the seat from last season, Nipsey Russell
mm-hmm.
and Hootie is in the front row.
Who's
here.
Hootie? Hootie and the Blowfish?
Yeah, the Hootie. And then, like, let's see here, Scott Peterson.
Oh, he's a Raiders fan? Really?
Of course, naturally, eh?
Wow. Yeah. I guess he would have to be.
Sure.
Oh, look, right here, every female season ticket holder.
Mm-hmm.
Gets a free coupon
right.
for a set of silver and black acrylic nails and an eyebrow pencil.
How about that?
That's nice, eh?
That
huh?
good.
That's
nice.
Clean.
Good news.
That's clean. And I see, like, if you buy it for the season opener, I guess you guys said that they've already passed.
It's this past weekend.
You could get a free Raiders hairnet. From Universal City Nissan, that's clean.
Okay, good.
Let's see. Going through what other clean stuff we got here?
Hey, Rudy.
Yeah.
What about your team finally signing your first draft pick, Jermarcus Russell?
Jermarcus.
Yeah. Jermarcus Russell.
I bet he's white.
He's a quarterback.
He's a real white guy.
He's a quarterback.
He's a black man.
But so what? I mean, if he was a big star at LSU, maybe he'll help your Raiders, though, I think
Jermarcus.
Is what Kevin suggested.
Whatever. That's cool. I mean, like, if he's going to be down, if he's going to help out, like, the silver and black, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's going to be their quarterback.
Brown pride. That's all I got to say.
I don't even understand where you're going.
Are you
going to
watch the game this week?
I'm going to try. You know what I'm saying? Like, I heard my friend Little Pukey that lives in Inglewood. He got he tapped into his uncle's cable.
Right.
Because he lives in the garage in the back. And so, like, I heard he, like, pirated the cable.
I see.
He's going to have the game. So, you know what I'm saying? If I can make it out. Because right now my Buick Regal is not running too clean. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So hopefully if I can jump it or something. Hey, check it out. Here. On the back page of the media guy says, full season ticket package. You get $1,000 credit to any of Chorizo Bail Bond's 20 California locations.
That's very helpful.
That's coming handy for me, you know what I'm saying?
Because
the popos are always coming down on me, you know what I'm saying? They're always keeping my people down, la raza, you know?
We got you. All right, we'll talk to you after the Denver game this weekend, all right? How about that, Rudy?
Rudy?
I'm your puppet.
Okay. So we just went to Vegas, and I'm sure you guys had to go through the same thing I did, which is, it was like 5 days in Vegas, so I packed a suitcase that I was going to check.
Right.
I try not to when I go to Vegas, but 5 days. I got to bring like 3 pairs of shoes for dancing.
Now you are.
Because so, like one night I'll blow out a pair of shoes, and then I got to have some for the next night when I start dancing. But anyway, and I don't know if they're being tight about the, liquids or anything like that anymore.
Oh.
So I put pretty much everything in my suitcase that I'm going to check.
I do, too.
Because I don't want to go through the hassle of that, right? So I get to the airport, and there's a big sign that says, if you have more than 3 ounces of whatever, you need to put it in a plastic bag now. This is a new thing.
Right.
Right.
And I'm at the airport at Burbank, and the long line at the check-in is driving me out of my mind. And everybody out at the front is like, oh, okay. And they're opening their suitcase. They go, what about this? What about this? What about this? They got all this stuff in there that they're not supposed to have because it's more than 3 ounces. And I'm getting frustrated. I'm like looking at them like, come on. This isn't that difficult.
And it's
this
not policy, that new either.
Yeah, this policy is about a year old. You can't take shampoo bottles and things like that on. I think what a lot of people are doing, what I do is I have one little plastic baggie that has travel sizes in it.
Right.
It's got a travel size of shampoo and a travel size of your hair, travel size of toothpaste, something that you know is going to be 3 ounces or under that you can get through with no problems. That's the key.
But what they're doing now that's different, at least that I've never seen, is that they're making you put them in a baggie like that, Bean. They're giving you a plastic bag, and they're saying, if you have something that's more, put it in this bag. They say that when you get in line.
Right.
So the line is taking forever. And
was actually a desk, like a table, before you got into the security where they're making everyone open their suitcases,
yes,
looking at their bottles.
And saying,
Put
this in a plastic bag. Put that in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
So at least it was in the same line.
Yeah.
So I'm so frustrated by this because it really is taking way longer than it needs to get, to get through the security these days. And so I put my stuff up on the conveyor belt, and I, you got to take your laptop out, take your shoes off, that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. I walk through the security and get to the other side, and the guy goes, is this your bag? And I said, yeah, it's my carry-on. And he reaches in and he says, what's this? And I said, oh, that's eye drops. Sorry, I didn't... I thought I put everything in my check bag. And then
you were that guy?
And then he pulls out another thing. I guess it was like a toothpaste or something like that. And he's like, what's this? And I said, oh, man, you've got to be kidding me. I thought I put that in my check bag. And then he pulls out one more thing. I can't remember what it was. It was like
lube.
A little
lube.
It was like a little mouthwash, but a small size, you know. So it was like 3 things that I had forgotten that I had in there. I put everything else in my check bag. So now everybody behind me in line, including Lisa May, is looking at me like I'm the a-hole.
What?
Exactly.
Because I can't figure out. And I was so, better than thou. I was so looking at people going, you can't figure this out. How hard is this, you a-hole? And then I was standing there going, oh, sorry about that. I didn't know. I forgot. I meant to take that out. I apologize for that.
I have to tell you, when I got to Vegas, I had a computer case that I took on the plane with me, opened it up, 2 screwdrivers inside. They took your toothpaste, but I got through with screwdrivers.
What the hell? It's good to be hot.
Rob was on vacation. We're taking a look at the Showbiz Beat. Thank God Joe Francis is there to come to the rescue. You recognize the name Joe Francis, you guys?
Yes.
Is he Girls Gone Wild? Yeah.
His Girls Gone Wild, yeah. I thought he was in jail, but apparently he's not. He has made a $500,000 offer for High School Musical star Vanessa Hudgens and here's the way I love how they phrase it, to join the Girls Gone Wild brand and lifestyle, which basically means lift your top. I mean, that's essentially what joining the branded lifestyle means, right?
She could write back, did that.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, no kidding. She has some racy photos that have been all over the internet. Please do not email us and ask where they are because they're not that hard to find. You're just not trying. But Joe Francis has offered $500,000. He says, Vanessa Hudgens is the classic girl next door gone wild. Being sexual is not a crime, which, by the way, he's right. That's true. Looks fantastic in those pictures. Nothing wrong with those pictures. Anyway, he continues, she took a picture. It was leaked. Now it's time to move forward with her career. That a report from TMZ.com this morning. I think if she's lucky enough to skate by without any repercussions from Disney on this one, she's not likely to take the money and go the girl's gone wild route.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I don't think that's her next move.
When it rains, it pours. And Britney Spears, who was, you know, fat over the weekend on MTV. But she's not really fat, but she just wore super unflattering clothes. You don't wear clothes like that. If you look like that, you try to hide a little.
A little.
You know, you don't just hang everything out like that. I could not take my eyes off her belly.
Yeah.
Her fupa, you mean?
Yeah.
Which is, it's weird because forget for a moment that she's an entertainer. Lisa, doesn't every woman, try to dress to maximize and minimize what's good and bad on her body?
Of course.
Absolutely.
I mean that's what you do.
Even the slightest hint of a belly, you don't wear what she wore.
Right, so she wears something else that kind of hides it, and everybody goes, wow, she's sexy.
And look at those boobs.
Because she's not fat,
exactly.
But she's too fat for what she wore.
Yes.
Girl's fat.
So first she does that, and then we hear today via some, we got some spies out there, that they're thinking of charging her with hit and run. Do you remember the parking incident where all
Certainly.
The cameras were there and she kind of...
At the GNC, she was going to the GNC.
Yeah, and she bumped that car or something like that.
And TMZ got photos of it. And she went out and she looked at the car and then...
She looked at her car.
Yeah.
And she was made a joke about it and then she left.
And then she left.
Which apparently, you know, you can't do. So they're talking about bringing charges against her for hit and run.
Brittany. Well, they got it all on tape.
They should charge her with fat and wearing too small of clothes as well.
If they can, they should.
While they're at it.
Look, how do you not, particularly if you know there are television cameras on you,
right?
How do you not leave a note?
Yeah,
listen.
How do you, especially you're Brittany, you can afford it. How do you not leave a note that said, "Dude, I totally hit your car. Here's my person. Call and we'll take care of it."
That's all
you got
to
do.
It didn't look like there was any damage to me. At least to me, it didn't look like that.
I think it was just like paint scraping. It wasn't anything serious like that, but it was enough that she certainly should have extended the invitation to take care of it if there was any cost involved.
They're talking about charging her now. So,
Brittany,
good times.
She's not having the best week ever. Let me tell you who's happy is Johnny Burrell, who is the lead singer for a band called Razorlight. He has been in a relationship with Spider-Man's Kirsten Dunst. They've been dating for a year or so, and they just broke up. And he says, my fault. And what he means to say is, looked at her. Sorry.
Sorry in the light.
Sorry one time out of bed. I realized not worth it. Here's what he tells the London Daily Mirror. Again, he's been dating Kirsten Dunst for some time. We were leading different lifestyles. It's over. She believes in equality, that a bloke should chip in with the housework. Fair enough, but I'm messy, and I love messing around with bikes. She couldn't stand the smell of stale fags, Mike, beer, and
cigarettes.
Cigarettes is the British term, right? Yeah. And kebabs in her nice living room. Can't say I blame her, really. They've been dating since last March. It's now over. That's good news, you guys. Kirsten Dunst on the market. Available.
I just threw up.
By the way, who has kebabs in the living room? What the hell is that?
Glenn!
Hey, V. Michael Jackson's dad. By the way, Michael Jackson was at a party this weekend. I just found out. I got told that by our assistant producer, Alex, and I didn't believe
her. A party
her.
Where?
In Las Vegas?
In Las Vegas.
No.
That's what I said. I thought she was kidding.
Not just any party.
The Maxim party.
We were at.
Right.
Really?
Guys, with all the coverage over Las Vegas and all the shows and all the blogs and everybody that was there covering the Video Music Awards, not one person ever mentioned that Michael Jackson was at any of those parties.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
I thought that they were kidding.
Superwhore's making it up.
She wrote me, she texted me and said, Michael Jackson's here taking pictures, and I wrote back, funny.
We were covering all the parties Saturday night.
Right.
We were with 50 Cent Kanye, and we went over to Maxim UFC, and Mike, Dave, and I are hanging out, and I get a text from Dave. He's at the bar. I'm up at the Villas at the top of the pool. And he goes, Michael Jackson is here. To which I text Dave, haha, no way.
Right, that's what I texted you, too.
Right. So
he doesn't go to parties like that.
So I continue watching Joss Stone rock her little ass off. And this big-ass security guy comes up the elevator, and Michael Jackson steps out with, like, gold shoes, the gloves, the skin. I mean, whiter than me. I'm the whitest white chick I know.
Yeah.
He's whiter than my ass. And he starts taking pictures of Joss. And,
he's like, taking them with his own camera?
Yes. Yeah, and watches her entire performance, rocking out, and then leaves. Because we came kind of early,
mm-hmm.
and he arrived early, before a lot of people were there. But the Queens of the Stone Age guy saw him. We saw him. Some of the Maxim people saw him.
I totally thought you were kidding. God.
It's amazing because the chain of text messages, all of them were the exact same thing. She text messaged Kevin, and he says, yeah, right, ha-ha. She sees him, then text messages Lightning and I. We immediately answer, yeah, right, ha-ha. But sure enough, we walk up there where Alex is, and they're clear as daylight hanging out with everybody. Sure, he had security. But, I mean, right out there in the mix.
Bean's saying no. Bean is dying.
I'm saying you're in Las Vegas, home of impersonators, by the way.
No.
The first thing that came into my mind, you walk up close. He was allowing people to walk up right close to him. His nose was missing. It was flashing. That was Michael Jackson. It was.
And for the rest of the night, everybody was just double checking with everybody else going, so that guy.
All right. Here's what I'm going to say, and this is the definitive word on this.
All right.
I wasn't there, and I have no information whatsoever.
Right.
And I'm telling you, the eyewitnesses, that it didn't happen.
Okay. Ultimate skeptic. Ultimate skeptic Jay Lightning Tillis was on a rampage trying to prove that it was not Michael Jackson.
Okay.
He walked up to the Las Vegas, I guess, county sheriffs. It's not police there. They had it's county stuff. So the official police, not security, police of that district. And he said, is that Michael Jackson? And they said 100% yes. These are policemen. They would in no way lie about that to, you know, set up an impersonator. He's like, yeah, that is Michael
Jackson. How do we just, it's Tuesday morning. How do we just now find out that was real? I thought you were kidding. I know. I thought you were kidding, though, the whole time.
I swore on your love of Beyonce and Sloppy Joe's. Did you think I was kidding when I texted that?
I don't think I got that text.
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh,
I swore on your love of Beyonce.
Really? That's pretty strong. You don't swear on Beyonce around me.
It's Josh Homme, Psycho Mike, everybody there cannot be wrong.
It's Michael Jackson.
It's
still not true, but thank you for the story. And finally, if you are wondering who will win in the CD battle today or the download battle between 50 Cent and Kanye West, both albums coming out today, they've made everything they can out of a supposed feud between the two of them. At one point, 50 Cent even said he was going to retire if his CD did not sell more than Kanye West. Yeah, it was clearly just all hype. In case you're wondering, I'm on iTunes right now checking the 9 o'clock numbers. As of right now, Kanye number 2, 50 Cent number 9. That's where we are right now.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought Kanye would destroy him.
Yeah.
I think so too. By the way, Luciano Pavarotti, the best of number 4 right now. Pavarotti outselling 50 Cent right now.
But he had to die
as of this hour on iTunes.
He had to die to get those numbers though.
Exactly.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
All right, not now.
Not relevant at all, Kanye. Thank you for that. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about actress Virginia Madsen? She is 44 years old today. Director Brian Palma turns 67. Someone who actually is confirmed and was at the MTV VMAs and parties over the weekend. Ludacris turns 30 today. And Harry Connick Jr., the actor and singer, is 40. That is the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
All right, are we going to play in the montage here or do we wait?
Let's play it. Let's give them a heads up on it because these are difficult and there are, what, 5 songs by 5 artists on the bill at the K-Rock Alley Invasion? That's what
correct.
We're going to be hearing in the next 2 seconds.
So we need song titles and bands in order and then you'll win the tickets. Here you go. All my homies. Dude, stop yelling at me already. Dave?
Dave Grohl, is that what you're talking about?
Foo Fighters, Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock. That is the band I'm most looking forward to. It's the K-Rock LA Invasion this Saturday at Home Depot. You got Foo Fighters, Smashing Pumpkins, Velvet Revolver, Kid Rock, Chris Cornell, Cypress Hill, Perry Farrell, Satellite Party, Hot Hot Heat, Against Me, and Paramore. We have a way for you to win tickets right now, and it's with a montage of songs from these bands.
All right, so there's like 12 or 13 bands on the bill. There are only 5 in the montage, but you have to give them all to us in order by title and artist. Let's play it a couple more times for you, then we'll go to the phones.
1-800-520-1067. Name these songs and bands in order.
Lisa?
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, you think she can do it?
No.
She's good.
This is very literally the contest I would never win.
I wouldn't.
Because I would go, yep, no, I've heard it. Yep, oh, I don't know. I don't know. All right, here it is again. Here, listen.
And it's also a little bit harder because they're all jammed together. If you heard those clips individually,
right,
I think you'd have a better chance of being able to separate it from the sound around it and figure out the song.
All right, let's say good morning to Marco in Los Angeles. Good morning, Marco.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. How's it going with you?
Marco, you were the very first caller through who claims you have got an edge on this. You've got at least a couple. You want to give it a shot?
It's first one is Rock Superstar by Cypress Hill.
Yes.
Nicely done.
Second one is Slither by Velvet Revolver.
Correct.
That is correct.
Wow.
Ooh, the third one is a New Wave by...
Sorry. Sorry, that's not it. You got two, though. That's pretty good for the first guy, right?
Absolutely. Here you go. Off to a good start.
That's it. 1-800-520-1067.
When you hear, like, the last one, you go, oh, I know the last one, because you can't even get there unless you can figure out the ones you don't know in the middle.
But the guy that we just took the call from got the first two.
Yes.
He's laying the groundwork for
you. If you're playing at home, you should definitely be able to at least give us the first two. Here we go again. One more time. That's it. That's all you get.
Let's go to line four. We'll talk to Jeff in Orange, 1-800-520-1067. All right. We've already heard the first two, but you start from the beginning. Give it to us, title and artist, all five in a row. You win the tickets, Jeff. Good luck.
Are you there?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry. Big construction site, big trucks.
Go ahead.
I've got Cypress Hill, Rock Superstar.
Yes.
I've got Kid Rock Ball with the Ball.
Dude,
sorry. So close.
I was on hold when everybody was talking.
Yeah, dude. You're very close. Thank you.
Here's a hint on that. In order. The first, we need them all in order. So don't read too much into what he had to say there.
All right.
Want to try Jason Woodland Hills?
Jason, good morning.
Yo.
Hi,
yo,
Jason.
What are the songs in order?
From 1 to 5 or from 5 to 1.
1 to 5.
All right, what do we got?
All right, I want 3 and then 2, and then 5 and then 1 and then 4.
We're going to, what? Yeah, we'll play it again, sure. Here you go.
All right,
we got Cypress Hill, Rock Superstar.
Yep.
We got Slither, Gold Revolver.
Yep.
All right, we got, what was the fifth one? I got the fourth and the fifth. I'm looking for the third.
Well, we need the third next, though, is the thing.
Oh, man. Do it one more time.
Oh, come on, dude. We played it a lot. You got to give us the third one. We got to go.
I'll get later.
Okay, bye. Damn. All right.
Too,
he was close.
Bad he wasn't listening to the last caller, huh?
He had him. All right. Let's go to Manuel in Arleta.
Hey.
All right.
Hey.
I'm going to play it for you one time and then tell us what they are in order. All right,
first one, Cypress Hill, Rock Superstar.
Yes.
Next one, Velvet Revolver, Slither.
Yep.
Next one, Kid Rock, Ba with a Bomb.
Yes.
Foo Fighters, Times Like These.
Yes.
Smashing Pumpkins Today.
Nicely done. Woo!
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
Wow.
So much better than us.
You got tickets. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
Saturday's K-Rock LA Invasion here, for those of you that were playing along at home, is a little bit longer version so you can hear exactly what it was. Marlita got the tickets, and keep listening for your chance to win coming up on 3.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Here's the way this works. You call us, toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air with, about a minute of pithy comedy and hilarity, and we give you a prize in return. And it's a K-Rock Advance screening ticket for Good Luck Chuck, starring Dane Cook and Jessica Alba. So good news, bad news. That's in theaters on September the 21st. 1-800-520-1067. Where do you want to start today?
Let's start with James in Southgate with an absolutely outrageous story. Good morning, James.
Good morning, guys.
How are you? We are good. What'd it do?
All right. Kylie Ebert, 23-year-old Hooters waitress, short skirt, on her way to God knows where, but on a Southwest Airlines, I think.
Yep.
Did you guys hear about that?
Yes. Yep. They wouldn't let her on.
Because her skirt was too short.
They wouldn't let her on because she was too sexy.
Was she wearing anything under the skirt?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but whoever complained must have been a homo.
Now, Psycho, we were talking about this story off air, I think, a few days ago, and Psycho Mike was saying he would not have allowed her to fly because her face was so beat. That's what he was saying.
I thought she looked
all right in the pictures.
Yeah, but I've seen the pictures, and I don't know how that's too sexy.
I don't either. You see people every day flying like that.
No, it's a short skirt, but it's a decent length, and I mean, it doesn't look...
I saw people on my flight home from Vegas on Southwest this weekend that made her look like a nun.
You know, yeah. So I agree with Kevin.
Maybe somebody complained or something.
The,
I mean, maybe
the only thing I can imagine, and I think Lisa was leading us in that direction, is that maybe there was a little bit of Sharon Stone and Basic Instinct crossing and uncrossing going on in her seat.
In a perfect situation, yes.
And yeah, best case scenario, yeah. But maybe that's what people were complaining about. Short skirt, and maybe she wasn't doing a very good job of keeping the junk protected.
And?
Exactly.
I don't hear anything wrong here. Nadine.
Well, Southwest gets no more of my business, I'll tell you that.
Nadine in Inglewood, good morning.
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What it do?
Okay, guys, let's talk. Forget all Britney and this stupid hoochie girl in Southwest. Okay. Let's talk about Rihanna. How pretty is she?
Rihanna's
She's
pretty hot.
Gorgeous.
She looks like Charlize Theron.
Close.
No, I can see that. She's similar features, yeah.
Close.
Yeah.
She's hot, I agree.
Dude, that's going to be the next fight at the VMAs between her and Beyonce once Jay-Z gets some Rihanna.
Ah.
That's the fight I want to see.
Yeah, sure. I'd like to see that, too.
Beyonce would kick her ass.
I think that we should totally bring back the celebrity boxing. I love that.
Yeah, that's
fun. That was good times right there. I think they ran out of celebrities, but I sure like that. All right, let's go to Sean in Seal Beach. Good morning, Sean. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what it do, nephew,
what
baby
do?
Boo?
Hey, Sean.
My wife's water just broke. We have a name picked out, but not a middle name. Actually, I'm parking my car. I just got home, and I know how good you guys are at picking band names.
Yeah.
So I was hoping you could help me pick out a good middle name. I don't guarantee the wife will approve.
Why are you on the phone with us if your wife's water just broke?
Why are you home?
I'm trying to get in there right now, okay. But I'm on the phone.
So she's waiting. Okay, good.
Okay, little boy or little girl?
It's a boy.
Boy, okay.
And what's the name you got so far, first and last?
What's the first
name? Okay, the first name is Seamus.
Seamus?
S-E-A-M-U-S. I'm Irish.
Oh, you're Irish. I was going to ask that. Okay.
Yes.
I'd say the number one draft pick for the Oakland Raiders, Jamarcus. Go with Jamarcus.
I'm a Steelers fan, so I don't know about the Raiders so much.
But Jamarcus is a magic name.
Yeah, that's good initials. S-J. Yeah.
See? You can call him SJ.
Fupa.
No, not Fupa. What's wrong with you? All right, listen. Hang up the phone and go inside,
douche. Okay.
All right, bye. The hell's going on with that?
He's a bad husband.
That is a
Honey,
bad.
I was talking to Kevin and Bean. I was asking them their advice for a middle name. What'd they say? Jamarcus.
Which, by the way, I think is totally the answer. I think that's going to be the hot new name for the 21st century. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Eric, Pasadena. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, Eric?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi.
What's going on?
Hey, I can't tell you how bad the VMAs were, but what made my night on Sunday night was I could have sworn I saw Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show in the front row, in the Foo Fighters room, and bobbing his head like a douchebag.
Yeah. I wanted to be that douchebag very badly. I was asking them to put me in that suite, but they didn't. And I was back at my hotel watching it on TV.
There's another guy with a giant head.
There's another guy with a giant head.
Wow.
Apparently in the Foo Fighters.
Giant head. Yeah. Bobbing his head like he was drunk.
I was doing all those things. I just wasn't in the Foo Fighters suite.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
How sad that they were up there watching Foo Fighters and Queens of the Stone Age and Surge and Eagles of Death Metal. And you were just drinking by yourself in the hotel room watching the show on TV. Mm-hmm. How sad is that? In Las Vegas, by the way.
Yeah, that was me.
Let's talk to line two. We've got Tanya calling from Huntington Beach. Tanya, I think she may be filing a complaint. I'm not sure. Hey, Tanya, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hello.
Bean, I have to say, I'm from Washington, and I'm very disappointed that you like Zac Efron.
Yeah.
My sweet Zac from High School Musical, why?
Your sweet Zac looks like Rob Lowe, but a Mo. So I think you have to call him Mo Lowe.
Molo. I like it.
And is your problem that he's too pretty? Is that what you're saying about him?
He's just like scary looking. He's not pretty.
He's on the cover of the Rolling Stone. You're talking about that picture?
You know, anytime you go to any of the gossip websites or any of the pictures you see, I mean, his eyes are like white.
Yeah.
He's just, I don't think he's cute. I think he's like a little Molo. I think he and Vanessa Hudgens, whatever her name is, they have like a little Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes deal where they have the whole contract.
It's because, a cover, sure.
How dare you?
Sure.
How dare you? Know, how
Tom
dare
has
you?
The whole Mo thing going too. Yeah. So.
I'm with you.
Allegedly.
I'm with you, Tanya. You're absolutely
Thanks
right.
Thanks for the call. Please don't call and disparage my sweet Zach.
He's dreamy. That plush head of hair, his Adonis like physique. Oh, what I'd do for one serving of that man ass.
That's creepy. Let's close with Kevin in Santa Clarita on line 8. And I think it's important here on September the 11th to maybe go out with with a nod, with a tribute to the anniversary of the horrific events in New York 6 years ago today. Hi, Kevin.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hello.
Now, you know, it is the patriotic day, but I'm just sick of seeing that. You know, why don't people help out their fellow Americans, you know, pull over, help somebody push their car to get some gas, pick up a hitchhiker if you see them, you know? Why do you have to be patriotic on patriotic day? Be it every day.
Oh, you don't like the focus on a day like today because you should be that way every day.
Exactly, you know, if you're American, be American every day, not just on September 11th.
I'm going to start trying to be an American every day.
Okay, I'm going to pick up hitchhikers.
Should we have fireworks on August 15th because we might as well be 4th of July every day?
And yes!
Should we give out presents in March because it doesn't have to be Christmas? I mean, is it work year-round for all the holidays, Kevin, or just this one?
You know, it's just, you know, just be it when you're being it, you know, not just when
be it when you're being it. Okay.
There you go.
That's the message from today's Kevin and Bean Show. Be it when you're being it.
I don't know why they're not having you speak at the Ground Zero ceremony. I really don't. That's good work right there, my friend. All right. Thanks for that. And thanks to our guest, Gary Biggerstaff, for joining us today. He is a fireman with the Long Beach Fire Department. And I want to give out the information again. If you are looking for a way to commemorate 9/11, there is a ride and memorial service, and you can get all of the details about the event today, which is free and open to the public, at remember911ride.com. And let us know how it is, because Lisa's going on the ride next year, she promised.
I said I would.
Yeah,
remember911ride.com. So thanks to Gary for being on with us today.
Tomorrow morning, a friend of ours is going to run for president. We're going to talk to him. Very excited about that. Friend of ours running for president.
We know is qualified to run for president.
Yeah.
You'll find out.
You'll find out.
Okay. Ralph Garman. No, I'm just kidding. Also, Angels and Airwaves. We talked to the entire band over the weekend. We haven't had a chance to play that yet, so we're going to give you that tomorrow morning.
Okay.
They are very close to dropping their new CD, right? Their second record's coming out here soon.
Yeah, it's dropping. Yes, it is. Yo-yo. How fat is too fat? We'll answer that question tomorrow morning.
We will.
Brittany.
Oh, Bean.
Well, see, that's a combination of too fat for those clothes.
Yeah, she's not fat.
If she were to dress flatteringly, she would not be considered fat.
No.
But with those clothes.
I agree.
I couldn't take my eyes off her belly. That's all I know.
Yeah, she was too fat for that outfit on that stage at that time. That's for sure.
Fat girl's fat.
Also, tomorrow morning, we're going to talk to a guy who wants Psycho Mike to perform Brow Down Live. In Glendale.
Really?
Oh, that's
Lord.
No.
That's the best idea ever. What do you mean, no? It's the best idea ever.
Does he get protection?
Well, yeah, no kidding.
No. And also tomorrow morning, more tickets for K-Rock's L.A. Invasion. And that's tomorrow. Now we get to go back into our manager's office and get told why we're bad.
Again?
Yeah.
Another meeting. Yep.
Oh, I got
so
it.
Nope, you don't.
We hope to see you tomorrow.
No, you don't.
5 minutes go.
Speaking of Angels and Airwaves, their new song is called Everything's Magic. And Kat Corbett will be playing that as part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock Next, plus some Metallica, Muse, Audioslave, Paramore, and more right after this on K-Rock.
Tom, is everything really magic?
Everything's magic from a land afar with wings on it.